The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, September 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Tropical Storm Florence turned into a hurricane and is swirling towards the East Coast for what could be a direct hit toward the end of the week. The storm sustained winds reached 75 miles per hour, just over the threshold for a hurricane as it made its way.
Oh, my God! Tornado!
As it's made its way across the Atlantic, about 750 miles southeast of Bermuda, the National Hurricane Center said. It's moving west at 6 miles per hour. The Miami-based center said that it was still too early to predict the hurricane's exact path, but that a huge coastal area from northern Florida to North Carolina could prepare for a major hit. It is forecast to approach the southeastern U.S. coast on Thursday.
So they're thinking, but most likely they're saying the Carolinas, right?
Yeah, that's what I saw. The governors of North and South Carolina and Virginia declared states of emergency to give them time to prepare. And the Navy said ships in Virginia's Hampton Roads area would leave port for their own safety. Dangerous swells generated by Florence affected Bermuda and have begun to reach parts of the eastern seaboard in our area. They're saying could be affected by heavy rain. Serena Williams was fined $17,000 on Sunday for a total of 3 code violations during her loss to Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open final. $4,000 of the fine was being warned for coaching after her coach made a hand gesture to her. $3,000 for breaking her racket and $10,000 for verbal abuse of chair umpire Carlos Ramos, who she accused of sexism. So, okay, I didn't know this. They can't coach from the side?
I didn't know that either.
No, they can.
That's silly.
Yeah, it's a violation.
Their coach, isn't it?
That really is silly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I had no idea. I thought almost every sport you could coach from the side, you know?
Yeah.
And so he admitted he'd done it a couple of times.
Right.
But what he did say is he thought she now, as who the hell knows with the rules, but that Serena never saw him doing it.
And you know what he also had said? He's like, look, everybody does this.
Yeah,
that we all do this. We all make eye contact with our players and that are on the court at the time, and maybe give a little hand signal. And if you do, if you are called for a violation, the reason she was had the point taken away was because she went further and further with
right.
it. Had she just let it go, it would have been a fine, but it wouldn't have affected her score
no.
at all. So the point violation came from the slam and the racket and all that.
For the second half of the first set, they didn't even talk about the fact that she was replaced with an identical android.
No!
And that is clearly a violation.
It's a violation, too.
Yeah.
The U.S. Tennis Association confirmed to ABC News on Sunday that $17,000 would be deducted from Serena Williams' $1.85 million check as the runner-up to Osaka, who became the first tennis player from Japan to win a Grand Slam single title on Saturday. The fine money will be donated to the Grand Slam Development Fund. The purpose of the fund is to develop competitive tennis opportunities worldwide, according to the International Tennis Federation. In what began a string of heated moments, Ramos issued the first of 3 violations to Williams for getting coaching in the second game of the second set. And while she disputed the ruling, her coach later acknowledged that he was trying to send her a signal. Williams later received another warning.
Shut up. Yeah. I already said I wasn't being coached.
Yeah, right. Why would you say that?
Fire that idiot.
Williams later received another warning for smashing.
Excuse me, Serena, watch your forehand. This is your coach. Watch your forehand. Thank you.
So smashing her racket is what automatically costs her a point. Renewing her argument with Ramos, whom she referred to as a thief and a liar, resulted in a 3rd violation for verbal abuse.
So it's all downhill from there.
And caused her to forfeit a game. Yeah, during the press conference after the match, Williams said that Ramos's ruling was sexist because she has witnessed male players calling umpires several things, but they have never been penalized.
But verbal abuse, I watched it. Come on, you little bitch. It's not verbal abuse. She never really she never even really raised her voice.
I've seen my fair share of tennis in my day, and like out at Forest Hills, and I've seen both sides, go after the ump to various degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw anything like this, but hey, who knows?
I never heard was like a warning. Hey, listen, Serena, here's the deal. I rolled the way I rolled.
Yeah.
Keep it up. I'm gonna fault you like a match or whatever. You know, I don't really know what he was saying, but I didn't really. She wasn't yelling.
Well, she was, you're not supposed to carry on. You know, you're not supposed to continue. Just accept the ruling and move along.
And And after this happened, tons of videos popped up of players like Federer, tons of guys cursing at the ump the exact same way, even dropping F-bombs and being very rude and crude. And they would just look at them, shake their head, and keep going.
And they wouldn't be fined or anything like
not
that?
Not fined, not anything. So they're saying, you know, she was emotional because she was a girl.
So she says, he's never taken a game from a man because they said thief, she added. For me, it blows my mind, but I'm going to continue to fight for women.
Let me tell you what that girl did, though. She takes a tennis racket. It's pretty sturdy.
Seriously.
And rockets it into the ground with one throw and demolishes it.
What an athlete, man. Yeah. She's unbelievable. 23 Grand Slam titles? Unreal.
At this point, so... Record-wise, maybe Margaret Court has, you know, one or two more, but that won't stand long. Serena Williams is just undeniably, you know, the greatest of all time.
Billie Jean King was going off on this, too. I don't know if you had that at all, Kathy.
Yeah, but, so the Women's Tennis Association released a statement Monday morning saying that it was working with the sport to address gender inequality, and tennis legend Billie Jean King agreed with Williams in a series of tweets calling out a double standard. Although Williams' feud with Ramos appeared to overshadow Osaka's historic 6-2, 6-4 victory, the two women did share an emotional moment together when Williams hugged Osaka, who considers Williams, the winner of 23 Grand Slam single titles, her childhood idol.
Yeah, I felt bad for her, too, because, you know, they were booing her, and she's crying, and Serena Williams starts to say, no, she won.
It's
she won.
Her fault.
Give her her accolades.
Yeah. The head of the NAACP in Philadelphia is accusing SEPTA of creating a toxic environment for its employees and staff. Organization President Minister Rodney Muhammad says current and previous SEPTA employees have accused the transit organization of racism, employee abuse, and unfair termination policies. At a press conference Sunday, he called the SEPTA's president and CEO to drain the swamp. SEPTA responded, saying officials would welcome the opportunity to meet with him to discuss concerns. A statement went on to read that SEPTA is committed to promoting diversity in all levels of its workforce and all facets of the organization. We are dedicated to ensuring fair treatment for all employees and taking seriously any claims regarding racism, employee abuse, or unfair termination. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are young.
Vince Velasquez gave up Michael Conforto's tie-breaking three-run home run in a four-run fifth inning that led the Mets to a 6-4 win yesterday afternoon in New York. The Phils, who led the National League East before play on August 12th, dropped 4.5 games behind first-place Atlanta and also trailed by the same margin for the second wild card with 3 weeks left. They're back home tonight as they open up a three-game series against the Washington Nationals. Jake Arrieta gets the start, and game time is scheduled for 7:05. The Eagles were off yesterday and returned to action this Sunday with a game in Tampa against the Buccaneers, but the three other NFC East teams played yesterday. The Washington Redskins beat the Arizona Cardinals 24-6. Dallas fell on the road to the Carolina Panthers 18-6. And the Giants lost at home to the Jacksonville Jaguars 20-15. Persistent rain caused the PGA Tour to suspend the BMW Championship yesterday, and a poor forecast for today may derail the third leg of the four-tournament FedEx Cup playoff series. Early tee times yesterday, meant to beat the weather, were continually pushed back all day at Aronimink Golf Club. Justin Rose holds the lead by one shot over Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods is tied at 11th, 5 strokes back. The plan for this morning is to tee off at 7:30 and threesomes off both tees, with the last group going off at 9:20. But unless at least half of the 69 player field completes the final round by the end of the day, the tour would not extend the event to tomorrow, and Rose would be declared the winner. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much.
What about that protocol, Preston? So if they can't complete it, they will just say, here, where we are right now, you are the winner.
Yeah, there's only so long you can wait. You know, I mean, people have other schedules and plans, and I mean, they live their lives as well, so.
The FedEx tournament is supposed to continue, and so they need to maintain that schedule, and if they can't get it in today, unfortunately.
How much rain is too much? Like, what will they play in?
That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly because, you know, it's not like other sports where, well, usually rain won't stop a golf tournament unless there's lightning.
Right. But they didn't play yesterday and there was no lightning.
They didn't play yesterday, but it was steady rain all day long. It just makes it not unplayable, but it's not good quality golf. So I think I'm not sure who makes that call. I'm not sure if that's the,
maybe they should have done it.
If that's the PGA that makes that call or the golf course itself, I'm not really sure.
There was a football game yesterday that had been postponed twice in the middle of the game. The game started at 1 o'clock and it finished after 7 because of lightning and everything like that. And
it was in Miami?
It was in Miami. Yeah. And I was wondering, like, at a certain point, do they can't call the game. You know what I mean?
They have to finish it.
But that's why it seems a little bit odd to me that they go,
they would call, yeah.
All right, so, okay, Justin Rose, you're the winner. You're the winner.
You win.
But they kind of do that in baseball, too. Like, when you get to a certain inning, what is it now,
the
Nick?
Fifth, you have to
fifth
finish.
Fifth inning?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, you're winning right now. So, yeah. Since they are in the last day, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's kind of a unique situation. So, I don't know, it's been great. I've loved it. I'm absolutely loving it. These guys are playing lights out. Lots of birdies. It's been really exciting, so... but we'll see. We'll see. Hey, you know what else is exciting? We here on the Preston and Steve Show, for the first time in our existence, we actually get to finish the back-to-school A to Z. Yeah, this morning. We get the last two songs to play before we wrap up this marathon of awesome music that we've been having a blast with. So we got two songs left to go, and we are done with the back-to-school A to Z.
It's almost almost nerve-wracking that this is put on our doorstep.
I love it, man. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit. We have many other things to get to today as well. New Word of the Week prize. We have a 4-pack of tickets for the MMA Pro League at the Hard Rock Casino this Saturday in AC. And we'll also give you 2 rooms for food vouchers and meet and greets with pictures in the cage as well. So it's a pretty sweet deal.
Nice.
Listen up for your chance to win. We'll do the letter of the day at the end of the show. Guest-wise on the program, we have actor and director and producer Paul Feig, who's going to be joining us.
He's awesome.
And he is talking about the new movie, A Simple Favor, which is opening up on Friday. And we'll get some more details about that. But he's the guy behind Bridesmaids and Heat and Spy. And he's worked with a bunch of different TV shows and movies. He was part of Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, co-created it with Judd Apatow.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Paul a little bit later on this morning. And a few other things to get into as well. Lots of movie passes. We have a couple screenings, one tonight, one tomorrow. And we got to make sure that we fill those theaters. So we have a lot of those going out. Oh, and one more thing.
September morn.
We can't go on without
so beautiful
some Neil. Until the night became, and if it's a kind of a dreary morning like this, so we're gonna break. We'll be back in a moment. I'll have a stupid question ready for you. Loads of entertainment stories to run by too. Stay with us on this Monday morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question this morning. We are going to give away a case of Yards Brawler, 16-ounce pounder can. So obviously you have to be 21 in order to answer the question now. And I have this one. This is interesting. Disneyland's Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Which is one of their exhibits in the Magic Kingdom, was opened in 1955. What year was it supposed to look like when it opened?
Okay? I love this. Yes.
What futuristic year was Tomorrowland supposed to represent when it opened in 19...
The world of the future.
1955, 215-263, WMMR. Let's see if you know that answer. What year was it supposed to be in Disneyland's Tomorrowland? Call right now. Birthdays today while you're calling in. Monday, September 10th, include lead guitarist of Aerosmith, great guitar player, horrible interview.
Yeah.
Joe Perry
is
68 years old. And you know what? I've interviewed him a couple of times over the years, and he's just not a very talkative guy.
You know what everyone says, though?
What?
Nicest guy.
Yeah.
Just not a great communicator.
Seems like a pretty decent guy. So he's 68 years old today, so happy birthday.
That was a lot of work, that interview.
Mr. Joe Perry, yeah, he was not in the mood to talk.
Now he looks like he's got that mustache, right? Like the Ming the Merciless or whatever?
A little bit. His hair, he has the different hair patterns. He looks a little bit like B. Arthur with a guitar.
Wow.
And I mean that as a compliment.
He's 68 today. Ryan Phillippe, the actor, is 44 today, and ex-husband of Reese Witherspoon from Delaware.
On a current series, called The Shooter, based on the Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He's hanging in there.
Every time we talk about him, there's a listener that texts in and says, my cousin had sex with Ryan Phillippe in high school.
Ah,
so really?
There's that connection, and I'm beating
there's
you
that
to,
person.
Yeah, there's that person.
Put your pants back on!
Yep, so 44 today.
MacGruber, of course, for me, is one of his masterpieces.
We also have celebrating a birthday today, director Guy Ritchie. And he's done a bunch of stuff.
Did he do stuff.
Sherlock Holmes?
He did the Sherlock Holmes movies.
That was on over the weekend. I was watching it.
First one was great. Second one was good.
Ooh, I wonder which one I was watching.
Yeah. If it was good, it was the second one. If it was great, it was the first one.
Yeah.
The man from Uncle, ex-husband of Madonna.
Yes, that's right.
That. Yeah. And Snatch.
Yes.
Which I think was a tribute to Madonna that he did.
Snatch, Gash.
Yeah, Snatch, Gash, and...
Smelly Hatchet Wound.
Hatchet Wound. So he's celebrating the big 5-0.
The vaginal troika of films.
Colin Firth, speaking of... no, he's not in About a Boy. He's in Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yes.
But Hugh Grant was in that, too.
Yes.
Okay. So there you go.
6 degrees of
my connection. But he's a great actor. And, of course, Kingsman.
Kingsman.
Fantastic.
One and two.
Who knew that he could do action like that?
Well, I'm sure that he loved the... Because he was also in Mamma Mia, you know, so talk about a range. But, he's so good in those two films. Again, the first one is great. Second one is fun.
Yeah, I like the first one so much better.
Yeah.
And they're talking of doing a third that goes back to the origin of the Kingsman, which could be interesting. So
yeah, it's funny because the original Kingsman was sort of saying, hey, you remember when, you know, with Bond and the spy movies, to have a sense of whimsy about them. And that was sort of the whole point.
Yep.
And it got mired down in its own deal.
So he's 58 today. Bill O'Reilly. Celebrates his birthday today.
He now has a ham radio show. He was on top of the world, and he was, I guess, at the lead of a lot of the, before Me Too was Me Too.
Yep.
You know.
Do we have his meltdown? Because it's...
Play the whole thing.
It is one of my all-time favorite pieces of audio.
I have it separate.
You know who uses it a lot? Jackie Bam Bam.
Does he?
And I love it.
Well, do it live!
Yes.
If we have the whole thing.
Was it Inside Edition?
It was Inside Edition. He was the host of it, which is, of course, the entertainment tabloid show.
Yeah.
And he'd been in the entertainment industry, or at least doing entertainment reporting for long enough to know what play me out means. But he didn't know that, which is amazing. So do we have the whole clip?
Yep, here we go.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know
what... I don't know what it means.
Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting,
Okay, but... I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Wait, there are words. There are words that say, please, Sting plays us out.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay.
It's just the beginning.
I wonder what he was taking it as. Like, what?
I don't know.
He's just being an angry a-hole.
He was being angry.
He did not know what play... In other words, he was misreading the instructions as instructions for him. You could. Here's how you would say it. And now, as we leave you, Sting is going to play us out.
Right. Here we go.
Sure.
There's no words there. To play us out. What does that mean?
Those are words.
Those are words.
Yeah. To play us out are words.
Play us out.
There's no words on it.
Sting is going to do. It's a video. Sting video.
Yeah.
What is.
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
And so when you're being yelled at like that, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, man.
If I was a stage manager, you go up to the lavalier on his thing. It means we're going to play the video and you're going to announce that he's playing us out.
Well, and you know, but when it's somebody like that, you're thinking, oh, God, this is so stupid. How does he not know what that means? Like, you almost feel embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow. And that is that.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay. There we go.
No. We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Don't.
My favorite is I'll write it. He kind of stumbles over that. Hang on.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
Yeah. He's so bad.
And you know, be prompt.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album.
There
Take
you
it
go.
Away.
That's it.
That's it.
That's you all got you had. You got it. You got it.
I love when the first time he attempts to stand up, this is my favorite part. I've mentioned many times before.
Yeah.
He stands on the cord for his own earpiece, which yanks his head down.
It's beautiful. Happy birthday, Bill O'Reilly, 69. All right, let me zip through these other ones. Christopher Columbus, director of some Harry Potter movies, the first two ones. He's 60 years old today.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Randy Johnson, major league pitcher, is 55. And then the last birthday I have is Philip Barker Hall. And you know this guy. He was
doing live!
No, that's not him. He's in the movie Magnolia. He plays the game show host.
Yes.
In the movie Boogie Nights. He's one of the producers of the porn movies. He was the library cop on Seinfeld. He's been in tons of stuff. He is 87 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. What year was Disneyland's Tomorrowland, when it opened in 1955, supposed to look like? 215-263. WMMR is a number, and we say hello to Kathy. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Preston. How are you?
Wonderful. Kathy, do me a favor and tell me what year it was supposed to be in Tomorrowland when it opened.
1986.
The futuristic time of 1986. You are correct. Hang on, Kathy. Get your info. We're going to give you a case of Yards Brawler, 8 16-ounce pounder cans. Yards Brawler beer is 4.2% ABV, perfect for sessioning festively in the autumn air. Pick up some Amber.
If I'm interested in sessioning.
Pick some at Ambler Beverage Exchange on East Butler Pike, and you can pick up a Pound Beverages on Eastern Road. Bound Beverages on Eastern Road, sorry. And that is in Warrington. All right, so let's leave with this. CBS Chief Executive Les Moonves has resigned after at least 12 women came forward to accuse him of sexual misconduct.
So he to television is what Harvey Weinstein is to film. So, I mean, he just was the muckety-muck of the network.
Is in a pair of New Yorker articles authorized by Pulitzer Prize winner Ronan Farrow. In a statement released Sunday evening, CBS said that Moonves would depart his position as chairman, president, and CEO effective immediately. The network also announced that it and Moonves would donate $20 million to organizations that support the Me Too movement and equality for women in the workplace.
Well, that should take care of it then.
The $20 million would come out of any compensation Moonves is due to receive following the conclusion of an ongoing investigation into the allegations against him. His future at CBS came into question in July when Farrow published an expose in the New Yorker detailing allegations from six women. This week, multiple news outlets reported that Moonves was negotiating a possible exit with independent directors of CBS's board. Then on Sunday, the New Yorker published claims against Moonves by six more women. Some alleged he forced them to perform oral sex on him, forcibly kissed them, exposed himself to unwilling participants, and put the careers of those that rebuffed his advances in jeopardy.
And do you know who one of those women is?
Phyllis Golden Gottlieb.
Ileana Douglas. You know her, the actress. She's and screenwriter. She's been in a number of things. She's one of the wives in Goodfellas. And you've seen her in Cape Fear. She's the one who gets her cheek bitten off by De Niro.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, so that's one of the people.
So this gal, Phyllis Golden Gottlieb, had reported her accusations to Los Angeles police last year, but they weren't pursued because of statute of limitations. Said that Moonves, while an executive at the Lorimar production studios in the late 1980s, pushed her head into his lap and forced her to perform on him. At another time, she said an angry Moonves pushed her against a wall. When she resisted later advances, she began to be frozen out of the company. She said, "He absolutely ruined my career."
It's almost an exact scenario that Weinstein has. Of course, he's denying this second group of allegations. I don't know if he partially admitted the first group or said there may have been some improprieties. There's also a question as to when a lot of this happened. Mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. But
he basically said it was years ago, it was consensual, and this is a bunch of garbage. So,
all right, so they're going to fight it.
Moonbiz's departure does not mark the first time that Me Too has touched the Tiffany Network. Charlie Rose, a former host of CBS This Morning and 60 Minutes contributor, has been accused of sexual misconduct by 27 women.
Does that not seem like it was 10 years ago that happened?
14 of whom worked with him at CBS. He was fired by CBS and PBS late last year. The network is also investigating a guy named Jeff Fager, who's a former CBS News chairman and executive producer of 60 Minutes, on charges that he condoned a hostile atmosphere to women.
Is Les Moonves, he's married to Julie Chen?
Julie Chen.
Okay.
Who does the Big Brother and The Talk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And The Talk is a daily show.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that all of this has residual effects. You know, it's got a
well, there's like a collateral damage.
Collateral damage.
Here she is.
And is she going to be on that show today?
Listen, if you look at that show, all right, so you have Sharon Osbourne, who went through her thing with Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the from Roseanne.
Yeah, Sarah Gilbert.
Sarah Gilbert. So everybody in that show on one level or another is associated with the controversy and has talked about that controversy. So it'd be kind of weird if Julie Chen is going to, you assume, at least at this level, is saying that she's
supporting
her husband.
Right.
And you would give her that right to do that, mm-hmm. You know, but we'll see.
Yep. Miss New York Nia Imani Franklin was named Miss America 2019 in Atlantic City. Her victory Sunday night resurrected a string of successes the Empire State has had in the pageant in recent years. Mallory Hagan, Nina Duvaluri, and Kira Kazanstev had won the title from 2013 to 2015, competing as Miss
America.
So they've had a big run.
Fixed.
Yeah. This girl's gorgeous, as you would imagine.
She also had an actual talent presence.
Yeah, she. this is her singing. I'll be a Miss America. I forgot we had this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I meant to play the other one.
Uh-huh.
It's just not labeled properly.
That's
so.
Okay.
This one's better, Casey.
I like it. There you go. Yeah. A classical vocalist whose pageant platform is advocating for the arts. Franklin sang an operatic selection from the opera Le Bohème. It's an opera. On Sunday night. She won a $50,000 scholarship along with the crown in the first Miss America pageant to be held without a swimsuit competition. Franklin said during her onstage interview that she was one of only a small number of minority students in school growing up, but used her love for music and the arts to grow and fit in. The fourth runner-up was Miss Massachusetts. Third runner-up was Miss Florida. Second runner-up was Miss Louisiana.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have that.
I forgot U.S. Americans.
Yeah. U.S. Americans. And the first.
That was Miss Dean, by the way. Just had to throw it in there, though.
The first runner up was Miss Connecticut. So
they get $50,000 and they get the appearance deal. I'll be curious to see what the ratings were. To be honest, I recorded it and I never just brought myself to watch it.
I didn't even know.
Because it ended really late, by the way.
Yeah. So anyhow, we have a new Miss America.
Yay!
Miss New York is Miss America. Vince Vaughn is now facing criminal charges stemming from his DUI arrest earlier this year. The actor was hit with three charges last week, driving under the influence, driving with blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher, and disobeying a peace officer. In June, he was stopped at a DUI checkpoint by the Manhattan Beach Police Department, where he was arrested and charged with driving under the influence. His bail was set at $5,000, and he was released a short time later. About 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, I went through a checkpoint.
Did you?
Haven't driven through a checkpoint in ages.
Where were you?
I was near Freddie Hill Farm.
Okay.
And we were coming back from ELO.
Checking people for produce.
The night of the concert. And fortunately, I was driving full on sober. Hadn't had a single drink of alcohol, which I do not drink and drive. And
doesn't it feel good to go through? You're like, oh, hello. Hey,
how are you?
Exactly. The guy leans in. You had anything to drink tonight? I go, not a single drop, officer. Thank you very much.
Want me to get out?
Yeah, you want me to get out?
Want me to walk the line?
Just test?
I'll do some cartwheels.
I know the alphabet.
It's like in The Man with Two Brains where he's got to be juggling and doing backflips.
Were you still nervous?
I mean, yeah, you never know. Yeah. You never know.
I've never been drunk. I've never had anything, not even tipsy, remote. I don't drink, and I get nervous.
Get nervous.
It's like going through the security at the airport, you know? So, sure.
But you want to be like a gymnast on that little the balance beam.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, not only walk the line, I'll do a back handspring.
I'll
do it all.
Exactly. So, anyhow, he didn't make it through one. He got into a bit of trouble. Morgan Freeman was moved to tears as his career was celebrated with a tribute at the Deauville Film Festival. I don't know if that's how it's in French. It's in France.
I had originally planned to be at the Pickle Festival, but it got rained out.
It got rained out.
I wonder if Farnham will be back because they weren't able to. They had to cancel.
What's that?
I wonder if Farnham will be able to make it back to
who?
Foreigner.
Oh, Foreigner. Oh, you said Arnold.
Foreigner. Foreigner.
Foreigner.
He spoke in French and said that he was grateful.
French fries, beret, gendarme.
For reasons that are deeper than usual this year is what he said. He was targeted earlier this year by a news report about his alleged sexual misconduct.
Turns out that sometimes when you have sex with your own granddaughter, everybody gets down your back.
He said that he's been a lover of French cinema, history, and art for most of his life.
By the way, he wasn't his granddaughter. It was like a step, whatever.
Yeah. The 81-year-old Oscar-winning actor
Thank you for clarifying.
Was greeted in Deauville by hordes of fans and introduced on stage by prominent French actor Vincent Lindon.
Yes, prominent, of course.
And it says that he's, and in parentheses, it says the measure of a man, which I'm not familiar with.
That's where it's a demeasuring porn, Preston.
Ah, gotcha. The homage included a montage of clips from his films going back to 1980's Brubaker, in which he starred opposite Robert Redford.
That's a great movie.
Yep. Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven, as well as Million.
I Don't Forgive You.
As well as Million Dollar Baby and Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. The city of Deauville, France, also honored Freeman with a... by dedicating a cabin in his name on the Normandy beach. So he has that as well. I don't know if it's like he goes and stays there or, you know.
Look at my cabin.
Yeah, he's got
a cabin.
Right
here at the site of the Normandy invasion.
Okay, so here's your pop songstress update.
Please.
The weekend. Yeah. Nicki Minaj and Cardi B's feud has reached a fever pitch.
Yes.
The rappers were seen leaving the New York Fashion Week's annual Harper's Bazaar Icons party late Friday at the Plaza Hotel when a fight between the two stars
broke out.
Yeah. It's like a cat fight. Some partygoers at the invite-only soiree captured the fight on camera and posted it to social media. In the video, Cardi B is being restrained as Minaj exits the hotel. Security alerted police officers about a dispute between two people at the plaza around 11 p.m. Friday. Law enforcement officers said they spoke to one of the guests involved, sources said, but the guest declined to make a complaint. No arrests were made, and it's unclear what caused the quarrel to escalate.
In this world, are you worth a damn if you don't have a feud going on?
But Cardi B took to Instagram afterward and posted a profanity-filled video saying Minaj had criticized her parenting skills.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Then she decides to attack somebody.
Yeah.
At a fashion event, you know, like that's, you know, a good mother will do
but
that.
But there's always these.
Yeah.
Everyone's got some sort of feud.
Meanwhile, you know, Meek Mill and Drake are mending fences.
They're building bridges.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that press.
Well, thank God for that. No, I.
Oh, well, they had a big on feud, right?
All
big
right.
on.
Big I don't even, on?
Like a big hard on feud.
Did you just say a big hard-on feud?
I would just... Anyway, I did. On purpose.
Okay. I control my mouth. I control my mouth and words come out.
I said big on, like that's a phrase people say.
No,
and then
no
I added hard on to it just for comedic effect.
Okay.
So anyway, they
the
were feuding.
Anatomy of a joke here. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So they had a huge feud. But
you're letting them go on.
They squashed it all. They squashed it all in Boston.
They squashed it off.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I said squashed it all.
Oh, after the big on.
Yeah. After the big hard on.
So, So Cardi B gave birth to her first child, a daughter, in July. Last year, both artists were featured on the song Motorsport alongside Migos.
You might as well be giving code to the Nazis.
I may as well be speaking Klingon
the
right
fox
now.
Fox runs in the morning light. My friend owns a large yellow balloon.
A Minaj address.
Fritters taste good with milk.
Minaj arrested their addressed their feud. I'm sorry, in a recent interview, saying, "I've never seen her show me any genuine love during an interview, and I just see how many girls wish they had been on a song with Nicki Minaj." CNN has reached out to Cardi B's and Minaj's representatives for comment, but nobody's gotten back yet.
This whole contentious thing is so annoying, and in many ways seems so prefabricated. You know?
Okay.
You almost wonder if the PR people behind these various acts get together and say, let's get something going.
Yeah, we need a good feud.
We need a good feud. Let's spark it up.
But they're all doing well.
Yes.
You know, as far as sales and fame and all that, so they don't need to do it. But anyhow, George Zimmerman, the Florida man acquitted of murder in the controversial Trayvon Martin case, has allegedly referred to Beyonce as a broke whore.
A broke whore.
In a series of text messages obtained by The Blast that includes a threat directed at the singer and her husband, Jay-Z. Zimmerman allegedly wrote that if he saw the couple, he'd, quote, they'd find themselves inside a 13-foot alligator.
What the hell is
that?
That's
an odd threat. What the hell is that?
Not 12 feet.
No, but I guess...
Are we talking a robotic alligator that they'd be controlling with
Remember,
servos?
He was from Florida, so...
Okay. Oh, all right.
He's used to alligators eating people and
so
forth.
He had one that he wanted them to demo.
No. The messages were reportedly sent by Zimmerman to a private investigator who contacted him while seeking participants for a documentary series called Rest in Power, The Trayvon Martin Story, and it's produced by Jay-Z. Of course, Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old, was killed in Sanford, Florida in February 2012 by Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer who claimed that he shot the high schooler in self-defense. Shooting sparked protests in cities around the country, but Zimmerman was ultimately found not guilty in a verdict that spotlighted Florida's Stand Your Ground law. The latest alleged threats aren't the first leveled at Jay-Z by Zimmerman, by the way. He previously threatened to beat the music mogul after a production team reportedly made an unannounced visit to his parents' home. In comments at the time of that incident in 2017, Zimmerman said, "I know how to handle people who F with me. I have since February 2012. This guy's human garbage.
Wow. That was just he's still relative.
Absolute garbage. Relevant. I know. I agree. Let's see. Oh, this is sad. We were just talking about him the other day. TV actor Bill Daly passed away.
What?
91 years old. Yeah. Two of his biggest comedy roles were as an airline pilot on the Bob Newhart Show, and he played Major Roger Healy in I Dream of Jeannie. It was just his birthday last week. I don't know. I mean, he was 91.
There was a lot of stress in his life because of his battle with Lil Wayne. It's been going on for a while.
I don't know what his cause of death was, but the star of I Dream of Jeannie, Barbara Eden, tweeted, "Our favorite zany astronaut has passed." So that was sad.
He was great.
I was sad to hear about
that. And also a nice guest, one of our first guests that we had of any merit when we were on Y100 years ago, but I was a big I Dream of Jeannie fan, and he, very talented comedic actor.
He was fun.
That sucks.
Yeah. Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn are saying Auf Wiedersehen.
That's German.
To Project Runway after 16 sessions. Now, I've never watched this show.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase from the show, Auf Wiedersehen?
I don't think so.
Because in Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
yeah.
If you remember, after Sarah breaks up with him, he's sitting there crying in front of the TV watching, and she says, Heidi Klum says goodbye to one of the models, and he's sitting there crying and goes, Auf Wiedersehen.
Really?
Maybe. So I thought it was a phrase from the show. But anyhow, the Emmy-winning duo will instead make the leap from cable to streaming by partnering with Amazon Studios to create a new fashion reality series for Amazon Prime Video. They will develop, produce, and host the show.
Aren't there too many of these already?
Yeah. This means that the beloved co-host will not be returning to Project Runway as the show leaves Lifetime and heads back to Bravo in 2019. She made the announcement on Twitter Friday, noting that she was, quote, honored to host and help create the acclaimed series, and it'll always have a special place in my heart.
Who stepped in? Was it Tyra Banks, or was she on another one?
No. So Project Runway is about
fashion creators.
Right. And then there's the models.
And then the model is the one with
Tyra Banks. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, I know that Auf Wiedersehen means goodbye in German. Somebody, a few people text in. Thank you. I appreciate it. But yes, when somebody gets kicked off the show, Heidi says that to them.
Oh, she does? Okay. So,
yeah. And I think when you say voice to text for Auf Wiedersehen, it comes up as Al Wiedersehen.
Al Wiedersehen.
Yeah. Is Al there?
Yeah.
Al who?
Wiedersehen.
Oh. Yeah.
The name's Wiedersehen, Al
Wiedersehen. So Amazon Studios did not release many details about the Charismatic Pair's upcoming and untitled project.
Oh, I can't wait.
According to a press release obtained by the Los Angeles Times, a new show will feature a, quote, shoppable experience for
viewers. Oh, my God. Ooh. Kathy, we should watch together and buy outfits.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
We will do that.
All right, here's your...
I'll have a non-alcoholic wine.
Here's your I have no idea who this person is story.
Okay, please.
TLC star Jorge Nava.
Yes.
He was on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, I do know who this guy is.
Do you really?
Yes, I'm familiar with the show. He's kind of an idiot. Oh, well, they're all kind of idiots.
He's going to prison for 2.5 years for allegedly trying to sell 293 pounds of pot.
He thought if he kept it under 294, he'd be safe.
Yeah, he was apparently...
Yes, I have 293 pounds of pot I'd like to sell you.
He was facing 24 years until he took a plea deal.
Preston, mm-hmm. at that weight... How
you're
how,
good for life.
Yeah.
You're good for life.
I mean,
on your weed quotient.
I mean, come on.
That's a ridiculous amount of marijuana.
It's also a large, like...
Where do you store it?
Yeah, that's a lot to carry around. I mean, it doesn't just weigh a lot.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It takes up a lot of space.
Right.
So here's about a pound, I've heard. About this big.
Yeah.
So you need like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot. All right, so after reports of after reporting a sex offender on the set of The Predator, which we have a screening of tonight, by the way, actress Olivia Munn says that it took Fox Studios 2 days to just return her call. She said she reached out a second time to say that she didn't feel comfortable presenting at the MTV Awards, quote, unless this guy was out of it. Fox later deleted the scene that this guy was in, which featured the accused actor, a guy named Steven Wilder Strigel.
Yes.
As his character hitting on Olivia Munn's character.
So this guy is apparently a friend of Shane Black's, who wrote and directed the series. And they go back a long time, I guess maybe since they were kids. Who the hell knows? But he put him in the movie, threw him a bone, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And, when the actors found out about it, other actors, I think they were rightfully... incensed mm-hmm. that they're acting alongside a guy who was had a convicted child. He didn't have sex, but he was soliciting for underage.
All right, so he's
a 14-year-old, I believe it was.
I have a divorce and a wedding. What do you want first?
Let's start with the bad and end with the good.
Nia Vardalos, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes,
she settled her divorce with her estranged husband Ian Gomez. They've been separated since 2017, but didn't file official documents until just 2 months ago. So they did it. They did it pretty quick. So good on them. And then Denise Richards.
Yes.
Married actor Aaron Fipers on Saturday in Malibu.
The Fipers.
The ceremony took place in front of family, friends, and the cast of her latest TV show, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's on Real Housewives?
She just joined it, Preston.
Oh, my God.
And then she cemented that even further with the Fipers marriage.
Her new husband had just divorced from Desperate Housewives star Nicolette Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who Fipers was married to.
At a certain point, don't you just want to get someone who's out of that realm a little bit?
I don't know.
Unless you're in that realm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And you feel most at home in that realm?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah. Which, of course, she was married to Charlie Sheen.
And yep. Was...
a freaking warlock.
was she already in a... She...
No.
Like
this
a reality
is her first
show?
Time. She okay. had her own show, though. Well, no, she had her own reality show, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
She wasn't on any of the Real Housewives.
No, not Real Housewives, but this isn't her first foray into reality TV.
First time to the rodeo. No.
All right, and then two more quick things, and they have to do with Emmys. Out of 22 overall nominations for the Creative Arts Emmys, Game of Thrones took home 7 trophies in the first night of the two-part ceremony, and it doesn't include the primetime Emmy ceremony, which is coming up on September 17th.
So these are all technical Emmys? And supporting?
I don't know. I think so.
Because would save the big ones for the award show.
Well, after two nominations, Samira Wiley has won her first Creative Arts Emmy Award over the weekend. She picked up the Best Guest Actress in a Drama Series. She plays Moira on The Handmaid's Tale. And she's great.
Yeah.
She's excellent. Yeah. In her acceptance speech, she said, I'd like to thank my higher power because without her, I wouldn't be here. So happy that she won an award.
I saw some social media stuff where the guys, what was it called? Wild Wild West, the Duplass brothers, they won an Emmy, but I don't remember what it was for. But people were congratulating them for winning an Emmy for Wild Wild West, which is a fairly prominent show. Or documentary on Netflix.
Okay. So yeah, they burn off a lot of these in this pre-award
ceremony. I don't know where the pre-award ends and the award begins.
It's stupid.
On the 17th is when the primetime Emmys.
Okay, that's a big space.
All right, let's do the clips now. In AMC's Better Call Saul, things are never as they seem, and everyone keeps secrets. Here, Rhea Seehorn talks about filming the heavy and honest scenes. Here we go.
We have scenes this season where they grew up and had very honest, intimate conversations, and they're very quiet and they're very still, and they felt weighted. They felt dangerous, because if these two people are going to drop all their armor, life could change dramatically.
Velociraptor.
Better Call Saul is on tonight, 9:00 on AMC.
Love her.
Let's do the next one. The end of the world isn't good for anything, least of all your love life. In this clip, Charlie Rowe discusses how the fear of an asteroid coming towards the Earth affects his character's romantic escapes in the show Salvation.
It makes the whole thing a lot harder because I'm not allowed to tell anyone about this, about the asteroid. So trying to keep a relationship going while this terrifying news in the back of my mind is a hard thing.
Good housekeeping.
Salvation is on tonight at 9, and that's on CBS, by the way. All right, there you go. That's what I got for you this morning.
Exciting. Hey, so many twists and turns.
I have a whole lot of these to give away for tonight's screening of The Predator, and this will be at the Ritz East. And this doesn't hit theaters till the 14th on Friday, so if you would like to go, it's from 20th Century Fox. Let's, like I said, I got a lot. Let's take like a dozen calls.
Do it.
And we'll put you on the list for tonight's movie, a pair of tickets. Just make sure you get there by 7:00. All right. 215-263-WMMR. That is our number. We're going to take a break and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay close.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I got a text from somebody who says, if I'm correct, if you ended the A to Z at 8 a.m., that would be 257 straight hours of the A to Z. Partial first and last days, but well over 10 full days. And that's from Fan Freak.
Well done.
So 10 Thank days you. Of the music. And a lot of other people are jumping in with their tallies of it all. But anyhow.
You know what? Over the weekend, I stopped in. At least three or four businesses I stopped in were playing the A to Z.
Yeah, I heard it was awesome. I heard a guy at Wawa at the gas pump.
Yeah.
Cranked awesome. Up, and I thought that was really cool to hear that. But some really cool moments throughout the entire time. And yes, there are some songs that are missed, and there are some songs that, you know, maybe you didn't like that were in there. But it's, our programming staff busts their ass to make that whole thing happen. And that's a lot of Chuck D'Amico and Sarah Parker. I've forgotten who else all is involved directly with getting the music together for that.
Peter, Bobby, Cindy.
Cindy
helped Marcia.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then, Oliver. Of course, Mr. Brady.
Yeah, Oliver was up.
Oliver, yeah.
Yep.
Jan didn't do squat.
Dumb bitch.
No, but anyhow. thanks for tuning in to the Back School A to Z.
Hopefully, yeah, it's great.
You enjoy the whole thing. And do we post the entire...
Yeah.
There's so much that goes on here that I don't know, and I work here.
Well, how could you possibly keep on top of everything that's going on? What with the extensive entertainment report you do every morning?
Please. Thank you for noticing and appreciating.
Do you think somebody else is making those calls around the world to the various entertainment outlets?
Come on. Nick has just pulled it up, and I guess, the entire listing of all the songs is up, and it's goes backwards. It starts with Zooropa, which we just ended with, and goes on.
Nice. I don't. Stuff. I feel almost like I need to go get a towel. You know, like after sex. You know, like you just and then I'm hungry for chicken for some reason.
You're hungry for chicken. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
It's my go-to post-coitus food.
So we were talking a little bit earlier about Serena Williams
at yes.
The U.S. Open and her little issue with, well, a couple of things. She got fined a few dollars. And I got a lot of texts that were like, dude, $17,000 is chump change to her.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It's true.
But it's the principle of the matter as well.
Right.
Nobody, especially a champion, never likes to be called out for cheating.
Yeah, I don't think she necessarily, I mean, I'm sure she cares about the fine, but I think it was more so that she yeah. wasn't given the chance to win then.
Yeah, yeah. But we started chatting off air briefly about strategic ways that one can indeed cheat, because the coach was giving her some signaling.
He admitted to it,
but he also said, listen, we all do this. We do that. They can look to us for guidance in the audience, and we'll give a little thumbs up, down, whatever. And just,
it's rare the umpire catches it.
But how much does that help anyway? You know what I mean?
Either you can play or you can't.
You're already at the absolute ultimate top level of your game.
Keep doing that.
Yeah, just keep doing.
Yeah, yeah. Keep being the greatest player in the game ever.
Yeah.
But I maybe there are little tips and things, and I guess
cheating in sports are.
Yeah. Well, of course there are. Yeah. But I mean, there are also just certain subtleties.
Sure.
And things that ways, you know, where you just sort of get, you, it's a little gray area there I'm going to exploit and get around it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going in a direction cheating just in general, but
I don't know. Give us an example.
The first thing I thought of when you said that, Preston, was when I was in sixth grade,
yep.
we had to write all of the prepositions down in order on the back of our English test, right?
Okay.
And for some reason, our teacher that year had us grouped in, like our desks were grouped in like threes or fours.
Okay. Right. Yep. So they tried that years ago. Hey, this is a new way to have the kids sit.
And by the way, my sixth
most
grade.
Most of my.
That's how they sit now.
That's how they sit.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yep. My sixth grade teacher was my favorite teacher of all time. Of all of grade school, high school, college, my favorite teacher of all time. And she made the mistake of sitting me with a couple of clowns that didn't know all their prepositions. So, Steve, so when I finished my test, I knew all my prepositions. I put them on the back, and then I just held. I was acting like I was looking over my test.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, yeah. Let me look at all of my answers. But meanwhile, all the prepositions were on the back. And so the three guys that were grouped in they were all cheating off me. It was so obvious,
yeah.
but to me, it just made perfect sense. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get caught?
Did not get caught.
Oh, okay.
Did not get
then
caught.
Then it worked. Success.
Success.
Nice job.
Casey, yes. There's someone on the phone.
I know, you son of a bitch. There's a bunch of illiterate dummies walking around because of you.
Going to sports, though, and I can only speak in the sport that I'm involved in, which is golf. And
you cheated?
You can cheat very easily in golf.
Have you ever?
No.
Bent
I don't
the rules.
No, I don't cheat now.
Okay.
Definitely not, because
you only cheat yourself, right?
The only person you're cheating. In fact, yeah, is yourself. Somebody had told me, and I love it. Is cheating in golf is like faking an orgasm when you're pleasuring yourself.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like why'd you do that?
Yeah, what's exactly. The point? Yeah.
But what you can do now, when I wasn't to the level of golfer that I am now. You do what's called fluffing the ball.
And which I is know, where you, yeah, you give the ball oral.
No, no. It's when your lie is less than desirable, you take the golf club and you pop the ball up a little bit so you can hit it easier. So you'll just move it a little bit. Now, when you're playing by the rules, you can't touch the ball at all, except in very specific scenarios that happen. Lift, paint, and replace, or there's certain rules, winter rules, and things like that.
I cheat in golf all the time because I don't want to hold myself to the standard of the professional. So it's like, whatever.
Well, you're not.
I need to fluff the ball.
I'm not a professional.
I'm not even close.
But as long as you understand that, if everybody's in agreement, then it's okay.
Will you fluff the ball to completion or just a little?
Why fluff if you're not going to fluff to completion?
Exactly.
Steve?
Yeah.
You got to get it in the hole somehow.
Yep.
So I never.
That was great. Thank you.
So I gave up fluffing the ball a long time ago.
Right.
I don't do it anymore, and I feel that if I did, that I'd be cheating. And
what is a common methodology of cheating in golf? Have you been with someone in a golf situation where someone has cheated?
Sure.
And did you call them on it?
No.
Okay.
No,
but you knew?
You just keyed their car.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't in competition, so
okay.
I would never. Now,
and how did they cheat?
Now, by improving their lie.
Okay.
You know, but there are people who play golf outings where it's an honor system, and it's completely up to you to turn in your score.
Right.
And
they'll fudge?
I know for a fact some groups that cheat regularly at that type of thing, and that's just ridiculous. And I played with some guys, this regular group of guys that I play with at outings, and we had hit into this green, and we've been playing to the number all day long. We were on our 18th, and we all hit on. We didn't get on the green like we wanted to. And so I'm like, I was just pissed off my own shot. So I threw down another ball and I hit another one just for fun. And I hit it right where we wanted it. And we kind of all looked at each other like nobody would know. But then we were like, you know what? People have cheated these things all the time, and we're not going to be those people.
Yes.
We're just not going to do it.
I played in an outing not that long ago with somebody who clearly is very liberal with the rules all the time. In fact, when he first, the very first hole, he came up and grabbed the flag stick out of the hole, and then he put it right behind the hole, so if anybody
hits
ball,
hit it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, in the case like this, so with Serena Williams and her coach, mm-hmm. your caddy is basically your coach.
Yeah. Well, it gives you advice.
Are there limits to what a caddy can do or suggest or
not suggest? A caddy can suggest all they want, but there are limitations as to
can the caddy hit the ball for you?
Yeah, sure. Yes. If you want to, hey, you take this one.
Take this. I'm a little tired.
No, there are limitations on what they can do, but I don't know what they are. The rules in golf are they're so. Meticulous.
We went through a list. Remember the game we played where I did a whole bunch of research on these? As I was doing the research, there were rules on top of rules on top of rules.
There are rules of an animal comes out and touches a golf ball and so on.
Really?
So, yeah.
What kind of animal it is will depend on how many yards.
Maybe. It depends. I think actually there are certain types of footprints that are that can be an issue, whether it's made by an
animal footprint. Wow.
I think so.
That's effed up.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Cheating in sports really is fascinating to me because it happens all the time. It's incessant, and you know, people get caught and people then try to bend the rules in different ways, and there's so many different ways to do it, with communication, with footballs, and you know, overinflating and underinflating, and you know, it's really in baseball. It's
to
like
me, those balls are
there. You go.
Yeah, I say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Well, in baseball, you know, the Phils had a cheating scandal a few years ago where beloved Charlie Manuel, was like apparently stealing calls by having somebody in the outfield being able to tell what pitch was coming in. I don't remember
really. And he roofied a pitcher, right?
I'm sorry,
he roofied a pitcher.
Oh yeah, I mean that's clear violation. But it's just. Every manager and every head coach, they look for any advantage that they can possibly find. And so,
because there's millions of dollars.
It's working the system, yeah.
And some cheats are crazy, Steve. And you know from years of being a fan of boxing
that some people
actually put stuff in their gloves.
In the gloves.
That's insane.
To cause people's eyes to close up or to make their eyes water.
I mean
that's almost like chemical warfare during a boxing match.
Any version of any type of race, there's always cheating going on. Horse racing, car racing, bike racing.
That's true.
You know, and Nick, I saw a horse race where a guy was in a car.
I mean, come on.
That is clearly cheating.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Or in the horse, like Seabiscuit, or in the horse racing realm, the amount of potential for and executed cheating is off the charts.
Well, you know, talking about bike racing, Lance Armstrong, he's the ultimate cheater. Well, he was just the best at it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like other people were doing it.
You're right.
And so like all of those races that he won, everybody was doing it.
I told you about the documentary.
He's better at it.
I was watching this documentary right there about three quarters of the way through. It was going to be an idolizing effort about him and about his accomplishments and about overcoming cancer, which certainly is a tremendous thing that he was able to survive, and you give him accolades for all of that. But about three quarters of the way through, all the information came out, and he did finally say, yes, we were cheating. And then the whole tone and tenor of the documentary shifted to how did you do it? Why did you do it?
You look at a guy like Barry Bonds, who is still revered in San Francisco. They just retired his number earlier this season. And pretty much loathed by every other team and in every other city in the major leagues. And Barry Bonds, by all accounts, is the home run king. He hit more than Babe Ruth. He hit more than Hank Aaron. But people don't think of him that way, especially outside of San Francisco, because most people consider him a cheater.
Yeah, I used to, until I heard Joe Rogan put it so eloquently. Oh, no, he sullied he said it eloquently. I didn't.
He sullied the
like the revered
steroid driven.
No, the revered sport of hitting the rock with the stick, and I'm like, Okay.
You're... I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Exactly. How often, I wonder, it happens in at the level of sports where it's kids. And what type of cheating goes on there? Not by the kids themselves.
By parents?
By the parents, by the coaches, and so on and so forth.
Well, there's also, like, there's slight sly cheats. Like, you know, get hit by the, like, Bad News Bears.
Oh, yes.
Get
up and out and getting hit by the ball.
Right.
Well, and I think about, you know, Little League World Series and when some of the foreign teams were notorious for sending in kids who were older, you know, mm-hmm. these kids who looked like they're 16, 17 years old.
They had a guy who was like 18 years old, lived in Honduras and had a family of five.
Right.
And he's playing as an 11-year-old. I mean, come on.
Well, some of the rules, even at that level, I'm like, and they're like, well, it has to be in place. I'm like, they're in first grade. I think we're good.
I know.
Yeah, bringing in kids from other school districts. You know, so like if you're a private school in one area and then bringing in a kid from a public school in another area because he excels at that sport, it happens all the time.
So speaking of, and this is all key to the Serena Williams thing. You know, so she has her coach in the audience and he is giving her some hand signals that apparently help her in some way, shape, or form. Casey, I've always been curious about. Poker and card games and stuff like that, and having a plant sitting behind or someone who can see someone else's cards. Does that happen?
I'm sure it does. In poker, it's really, really difficult to do something like that. You know, because it's like, so sometimes like a boyfriend or girlfriend will sit next to, you know, somebody as they're playing, but
at a casual game or something like that.
Even in casinos.
Okay.
Your casinos that are run well are on that.
Yeah, they're on that.
They've seen the myriad of ways to...
They know the tricks.
Yeah, right. Whether it's a reflection in glasses or whatever.
What people will do in that game is, let's say they're given an ace or something like that.
Yeah.
They'll try and subtly mark the card so that when it's dealt, you know, face down or whatever, they'll be able to see.
Like a slight... Well...
Very, very slight bend.
Slight bend.
Yeah. Yeah, because and I've been in games where
they've torn the corner off.
No, where there has been a bend in you know, and then when you're sitting around that table, you go, which one of you jerks is doing this?
Or you smudge a card, or you know, can you do that?
Just any sort of marking the card,
yeah,
whatsoever. So,
but they change the how many decks are played with that once in a
two.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And they change them out. How many? Hands.
Every hand is a different, you know.
They
so
alternate.
Yeah, right. They alternate. So you put it in the card shuffler, and then the other one comes out of the card shuffler, and you play with that one. Then that goes in the shuffler, and the other one comes out.
Casey, did you play A-Hole in college?
Of course.
The card game? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you have to cheat in that game.
People cheat all the time. So the name of the game is the word A-Hole, but you basically want to get a two because that would then clear the deck, and there were all these ways to cheat, but it was a drinking game. And inevitably, if you were in charge of drinking, you were the president, and you were able to make other people drink.
Of course you were.
So it was a position of power, but it also kept you relatively sober compared to the other people that you were playing against. And so cheating was fairly rampant in that card game.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? You guys rock.
Hi, buddy. All right, so you wanted us to tell a tale of, or we wanted you to tell your tale of cheating, please.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing recent, but when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
We actually made a championship youth football game.
Okay.
And our coach took all the running backs and myself, I was the quarterback at the time, and took us off to the side before the game, told us not to tell our parents, but he was spraying our jerseys with cooking spam.
With Pam?
Oh,
the
God.
Spray to make you extra slippery?
So we were not. So our jerseys were oily, and they couldn't be grabbed.
Come on,
serious.
Wow, that's hilarious.
That's a great coach. Right
that's
there.
A great coach. Listen
that's
to you.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Show me in the rule book that you're not allowed to spray Pam on somebody.
That's moronic. Yeah. That's absolutely moronic.
What a terrible.
Did you win? You won, right?
What a terrible message to send to the kids.
Well,
too.
Listen. No, in a way, and maybe you'll back this up, Brian. Perhaps his fear was that people watching would start throwing muffins at you, and this way they wouldn't stick.
Hey, Brian, did you guys win?
That game, no, we didn't.
Oh, so it didn't even work.
It didn't even work. But, no, Casey, heaven forbid you win on your athletic abilities alone, you know.
I can't even believe it. more now. Within the last 2 weeks, I just started coaching my son's football team, and I think back to it like, oh, my God.
How much Pam have you purchased?
Yeah, you're like, man, maybe Pam wasn't the thing. Maybe we need some a little
Crisco.
Bit.
Go to Costco. Yeah. It's cheaper. You can spray down the whole team.
I don't know why, but that story reminded me, Preston, of parents cheating for their kids in Pinewood Derbies. They would wait the cars down,
yeah.
and it, you know, this
oh
is supposed
God.
To be...
Oh, my God, you just hit the bumper crop.
You know?
The amount, and Preston, you talked about... The amount of parents where the kid is just... And I don't have any kids, but all the parents tell me this. They just sit there and watch the parent build the whole damn
right,
thing.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a kid yeah. building a car, and it's supposed to be this...
And graphite.
Innocent, innocuous... Yeah. You know, and like, yeah, and the graphite and the weights and everything... And the parents Magnets. Go above and beyond and cheat.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't cheat, but I did work it very hard. I did. I mean, I filed down
it.
Those axles and I sandpapered those wheels down yeah. and used an alignment tool and all the things.
Just like a kid would do.
You know, right. I think it's always like the first year in Cub Scouts. You're like, oh, no, this is the kid's project. And then you show up to the Pinewood Derby and you're like, oh. Oh,
this
oh,
is competitive.
I couldn't help but notice
this is a dad contest.
Right. Your vehicle is solar powered. Right. Did the child put that together?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So I know when we, because getting back to the football thing, when we played flag football, you would wrap your flag, give it like a couple little wraps around the belt.
Right.
That you know, so when people
they
tugged
couldn't
it,
pull it, off.
It wouldn't come off.
It didn't come off right away. And now also. You didn't get penalized for tackling people. You were down, right?
Yeah.
So it was actually harder to try and grab a flag. So I know a lot of guys on my team are like, I'm just going to tackle this dude. I'm just going to tackle him. It's just it's so much easier to just, knock somebody down than it is to try and, you know, let me get that flag off you.
In bowling, Casey,
uh-huh.
are there mm. any fast and loose rules? Because I keep wanting to get into it. I bought my own bowl and everything. And
yeah.
I will eventually immerse myself in it, but I know you bowl a fair amount.
I don't.
Are there any obvious?
Like, it seems pretty difficult to cheat it. Actually,
I mean,
that's why I was wondering
if or whatever.
Yeah,
is it fairly antiseptic
yeah,
to
there's,
cheating?
There's nothing you can do. Like you can't, you know, like cooking spray on the ball that would make it. That would because no. the lanes are oiled.
Lanes are oiled.
Yeah.
Leave the bumpers up.
I mean, listen. Leave the bumper.
Maybe
stuff.
No one will notice.
No one will notice.
Maybe
this guy knows
no
gutter ball. He hasn't rolled one gutter ball.
Maybe make the ball heavier because 16 pounds is the heaviest you can go.
Like right. a 50 pound ball.
But I don't even know what that would
God,
do.
The to tell you the truth, that guy.
Yeah.
Strike out the back through a Honda Civic.
Right. I have mentioned this a while back, but going back to golf because it's the sport that I participate in. But you can cheat by if you have a poor tee shot, you can put a like either Vaseline or chapstick on the face of your driver.
Yes,
huh.
And you will hit the ball straight
every time, even if you have a wicked slice.
For the most part, yeah.
Really?
Because it's
I'm gonna start doing that.
You can if you want to, but I mean, it's obviously illegal. But if to make your own game more enjoyable, if you mm-hmm. want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
But it stops the spin from happening on the ball, and now it doesn't mean you won't yank the ball to the left or push it out to the right, but the spin will stop and it won't curve really hard.
Well, or so. Case what you can just do is just keep just jotting down better scores per hole.
Or you could yeah. just write yeah. down a lie.
Wow,
you could do that if you want
to. You birdied every hole.
I'm gonna go to Harry. Hey, Harry. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Harry?
Hey, so I wanted to touch on Casey was saying with the casinos in Texas Hold'em.
Yeah,
I was down in Atlantic City playing, and there was a group of three guys about my age, probably like 23, and they all had Apple Watches on, and they were all, like, I was sitting next to one being a little nosy, but they were all texting back and forth to each other on their Apple Watches what cards they had in their hand, cheating.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be able to do that, and the dealer needs to call them out on that. Like,
how do you get away with it?
Well, and perhaps you can back me up on this, Harry. There is a little write function, so that you could if you leave that up, you could with your finger just on your screen, you know, quickly write that and send it. Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, there's a. So I have an Apple Watch too, and there's a little scribble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only because you'd have to look at it otherwise.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You could just glance at it, and if you get a text message, it'll tell you what's on your watch.
Yeah. Okay.
And that seems like you're begging for the casino to drag you out back and break your thumbs.
Yeah, to Joe Pesci you in the back room. Yeah.
Not the casino, because you're not taking the casino's money. You got to worry about somebody at the table.
Somebody from the Mac store coming over. True. From the Genius Bar breaking your legs.
Taking you out and doing worse.
You're not playing the house at all, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, you pay to play, right?
Right. So the house takes a rake, right? Okay. So they take, I don't even know what the percentage is off of every hand. So casino's making money regardless. So you're not stealing any money from the casino. However, you're stealing from me and... I mean, I'm not going to take you outside and
somebody's going to be pissed.
Somebody will.
Yeah, from the somebody Genius Bar.
Casey will look at you menacingly.
I will.
But,
and I'll go like this. I'll go.
No, you hold your hands up like a
yeah.
No, like Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yeah.
Bastard.
By the way, somebody here, this is interesting. Cheating in bowling leagues.
Okay.
This person says people do it by sandbagging.
Yeah.
Bowling under their ability to keep their averages low and then play to full potential during important
that's
games.
That's not cheating. That's playing
strategically.
Honestly.
Not really. If you're supposed to be in a different category, sure it is.
I don't think so. I disagree with you.
That'd be saying it may not.
Unethical is exactly right. Is it technically cheating?
No.
No, but I would agree that it's unethical.
That'd be like me saying, I'm going to play in Little League.
Yeah.
That would be cheating.
Yeah, there's an age requirement.
Listen,
that,
Mr. Smith, we want the fully developed woman on our team.
So let me explain it to you. So, like, when you're in a bowling league... You have to bowl against people who are more highly skilled than you are, right? So, like, all right, well, how am I supposed to be able to compete against somebody? If I've got a 150 average and this dude's got a 230 average or a 210 average, how am I supposed to be able to compete with you? So everything, you know, after you bowl for a couple of weeks, you develop your average and everything is when I play against you, have to bowl – you know, up to your particular standards.
Yeah.
And so we're, so if I'm competing against you, I'm given pins, right?
Yeah.
So when I start, I don't know.
It's a handicap, right?
It's a handicap, exactly what it is.
Right. I can't think of words sometimes. And so
in golf.
So it's all handicapped.
In some tournaments, some people will lie about their handicap so they get extra strokes and then play up to their ability and they can win that way.
That's
an unethical way to play.
Exactly.
That's lying. If you are all right, but you're not lying. If your score is your score,
you're being unethical. And
but what you could do in golf, if you're not a professional and you just want to win some tournament, leading up to it, you play 10 or 15 rounds really terribly, and you get your handicap shot way up, and then you go and enter this tournament as a 12 handicap or whatever, and then you just play lights out and you win it.
Yeah,
so that's unethical. I can see the same thing being that way in bowling.
You know, Chris, we talked about this
in a form of
video games and cheats in video games. Mm-hmm. And again, the question is, what pleasure have you derived if you have everything's just amped up dramatically in your performance ability?
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
You haven't worked for it.
What do you achieve? What is there a sense of accomplishment?
I mean, like 25 years later, I know that I essentially used the cheats in the Contra and Super Mario Brothers 3. And I never finished levels 5, 6, and 7, but I got in that warp and I was able to make it to level 8 and win the game.
Right, Preston, at the end of Call of Duty World War II, when you got your buddy, you saved them.
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment.
It was an accomplishment.
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts on, because I'm not that impressed with people who can do Rubik's Cubes anymore, because I feel like you didn't figure that out. You looked the algorithm up on the internet and you just memorized something.
But if they did that.
It's still a skill.
It's still a skill.
I don't know.
My son's great at that, and I'm amazed by it.
Yeah, my nephew can do it, and he's like, I can do this in like 3 seconds. I'm like, well, I don't care, because
that
I can't do it
at all.
That
don't impress me much.
somebody else also said in pool, in billiards, that sandbagging happens as well.
Okay, so you come in. It's basically like a ringer. You're falsifying your abilities on the way in.
And it says it's absolutely cheating. I'm a low rank and a sandbagger should be a high rank. And he wipes the table with me. What the F? And then somebody else says, Casey's wrong. Sandbagging happens in every sport. Even coaches will put their kids in lower leagues to win. I've seen that type of thing.
So we exactly had that when I was on my little league team for a couple of years standing was the Phillies. I was up in New York on the Phillies. And my coaches' kids were, They must have had families of their own. They appeared to be way too old for the league.
Yeah.
But we dominated, you know? I mean, and I virtually never played because no batter could hit off the pitcher who was his son. And it was crazy, you know?
I like this. It says, we have people that cheat in our co-ed softball leagues to win the championship. You don't even get a trophy or a T-shirt. So why are you doing that? That's what they said.
Yeah.
I know. What do you get out of it? You're not getting a big, you know, a bonus payment or anything like that.
Well, it'd be equivalent to Preston to working out and not putting weights on the bar.
That's a good way to put it.
You know? Like, yeah. Right.
Anyway, it happens, man. I don't know, people have their reasons for whatever it may be, but there's an interesting little thing that took place at the U.S. Open with Serena Williams. There was a tiny bit of cheating going on, but the coach is like, listen, we all do this. It happens at every event.
And the coach said he believes firmly that Serena did not see the signal at all, signals at all, and that was, you're not supposed to do it, you're supposed to be fined for it, you should receive a fine for it.
Yeah.
So this will all play out as it's playing out, it's becoming something more than that. But yeah, to me, the question would be, what is he telling her to do?
Yeah, I don't
know. When she's the best in the world.
Exactly.
Do that!
Yeah. Thank you for the calls, and I apologize to those who have been on hold for many, many minutes, and we're not going to have a chance to get to you. Thank you. We appreciate it. But I would, you know what? Have them hang on. See if they want. Well, they just all hung up.
Yes, they all.
I was going to give them some movie passes.
Hang on there.
White Boy Rick, we got a screening of this tomorrow night, and this will be at the UA King of Prussia and doesn't open until Friday. And Matthew McConaughey is in this movie. If you'd like to go see it, I'll take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. The movie starts at 7. You'll need to be there by 6:30. So just a heads up on that. Let's take care of you. We'll come back in a second. Bizarre file stories from the weekend. I'll have those for you. We have actor and producer and director Paul Feig, who's going to be joining us. Simple Favors, what he's promoting with Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
Yes.
Two of our favorites. So we'll have him on the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, I want to give away some more of these movie screening passes for The Predator. I slacked off last week on getting those out to everybody. So we've got it tonight at 7:30 at the Ritz East. So you need to be there by 7 o'clock. Doesn't hit theaters till the 14th. So let's take 8. People, and we'll put you on our list, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Movie on us. Go enjoy.
And it's The Predator and Preston. They introduce the Super Predator.
Yeah, I saw the clip for that.
Yep. Who preys on the Predator.
Okay.
It's a lot of predating going on.
A lot of predation.
Predation.
All right, let's do Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? So we'll start with this. Police responded to a house fire last week, and officers and firefighters encountered a bit of an odd sight when they got there. They got to the home around 5:30, and they could see smoke coming from inside. Then a naked man opened the front door and said, I'm sorry, and then closed the door and went back inside this burning house. Police officers arrived shortly after to assist. The man came to the door again, left it open, went back inside the house.
He didn't say, I'm sorry this time, though.
No, the man showed no signs of understanding the danger that he was in. There were several things on fire inside the home, including some towels. An officer detained the man and removed him from the house for his own safety. Firefighters say that if he had stayed in the home much longer, he could have possibly died from smoke inhalation. An officer said he and another officer were in the house for about 5 minutes and they had a hard time breathing. They had to get firefighters in with oxygen masks. The man admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka and smoking marijuana starting at 9 a.m. that morning.
So he's naked in a house that's on fire. He was pretty wasted.
Yeah, he was examined at the scene, had no life-threatening injuries. He refused further medical treatment. But here's the deal. Here's how the fire started.
All right.
He allegedly tried baking cookies on a George Foreman grill, which he left unattended. The grill and the cookies caught on fire. So to try and put it out, he put some dry towels on top of the grill, and those caught on fire, and that caused the fire to spread further into the home.
This was a real head scratcher.
Yeah, so he was
wow.
He was a little bit out of
from
it.
From cookies?
All right, this is horrible, but this is almost right out of a Warner Brothers cartoon. A 30-year-old Connecticut woman severely injured her hand and face when she accidentally lit a quarter stick of dynamite that she mistook for a candle after thunderstorms knocked out power Thursday night. How many times have we seen the dynamite as a candle in those old
Constantly.
Cartoons? Police said the woman was injured around 9:20 p.m. at the family's home, and her husband and two children were at home when the horrific accident happened. Police have investigated, and they said the family had...
Why would they keep the dynamite near the candles?
Well, here's the deal. So they had intended to buy emergency lighting from Home Depot, but the store was closed. Then they remembered seeing something in the basement that they thought were candles. The family had bought the home 2 years ago.
Oh.
And the previous residents or owners had left the dynamite behind.
Oh, man.
When the mother tried to light one of the devices, she suffered extreme injuries to one of her hands and might have lost several fingers.
God.
She also suffered serious facial injuries. She was taken to the hospital. No one else at the home was injured. Investigators searched the property. They found another device in the home, and that was removed and detonated and disposed of.
As you know, if you leave dynamite around long enough, if it starts to sweat, it sweats basically nitroglycerin.
That's correct. Police removed it, they detonated it, and apparently, while it is against the law to buy dynamite or fireworks in Connecticut, the police will not be pressing any charges because it appears that the residents did not know that there were explosive devices in their home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, a patient had the wrong testicle operated on at the same hospital where a cancer sufferer lost his penis.
Oh, man.
Both errors unfolded at Southend University Hospital in Essex. The horror was revealed in a report on never events, they call them, that is due to be reviewed by chiefs.
Mistakes? Yes, we've made a few, but now we're looking to make things right. Hope you'll consider us for all your penis needs.
An investigation is launched after a male patient had the wrong testicle explored during incorrect site surgery, and another had an incorrect breast lesion surgically marked and removed.
I mean, it's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. A statement was released and said, Southend University Hospital continues to be compliant with the national recommendations on learning from deaths through better engagement with bereaved families and carers, strengthened governance arrangements for morality monitoring by newly introduced medical examiner roles, and increased transparency.
Oh,
what the hell
God.
Does that mean? So
what happens? Did they remove the testicle and they...
No, they just operated on it. So,
holy jeez.
Yeah, exactly. So they said they're sorry.
We're sorry about that. Listen, about your nuts.
Yep.
Our bad.
A man linked to a double homicide played basketball the day before police found a couple dead in their home. And allegedly, he told the man on the basketball court that he would eat the man's blood.
Oh. Yeah. You would drink it, actually, if he wanted to. Proper.
I guess so.
You don't eat blood.
He wasn't in his right mind, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Lewis Shores, who is 19, was arrested after an hours-long manhunt. The investigation into the double homicide is still ongoing. Investigators believe Shores is linked to the slayings of Jimmy and Norma Grubb, who were found dead in their home.
I stand corrected, Preston. If he were to put them in the freezer with tongue depressors in them, they could be blood popsicles.
Okay, and he could eat them that way. But they were in their home, and it's a block from the school where he was playing basketball. A guy named Dante Stokes said that he was playing basketball Monday at Beard Elementary when Shores approached him and asked him to join. Stokes said that the two were playing, but Shores was, quote, tweaking really bad, slang for acting as if he was under the influence of drugs. Stokes also said that he told Shores that he saw his hand was bleeding, so Shores began licking it. And Stokes said he was appalled, and Shores looked at him and said, I'll eat your blood, too. He posted a video of Shores dancing at the school, adding that he couldn't believe Shores is a murder suspect police are seeking. So they found these two people dead, and they think this blood drinker is the guy who did it.
Yeah, we're looking at the video, and I fully believe this guy could have murdered people.
That he was tweaking?
He was tweaking.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story. Bar staff, I think this is, this might be in Ireland. I'm not 100% sure, but bar staff at the Oak Inn got a surprise on Sunday as a pony wandered into the pub and approached the bar exactly as if it was going to order a pint of beer.
What's with the long face?
Yeah. it walked in all by itself. Right. All by itself. Landlord Martin Barrett and bartender Lizzie Peeling were stunned. The pony walked in through the front door of the pub as customers were tucking into their Sunday roast along with the Yorkshire puddings and roast potatoes. They got a side order of New Forest Pony. Martin Barrett said the pony had obviously come in for a spot of lunch. It was a bit of a shock, and the pub was full of people. The customers
What a day I've been having.
The customers all started taking pictures of the horse, and it didn't seem to bother him at all.
Give me a pint of your best, Charlie.
Lizzie used her knowledge from a previous job as a horse groomer to lead the horse back outside. The New Forest ponies tend to be very docile. Apparently, people own them, but they don't have a lot of contact with humans. They're allowed to just roam around and hang out with other ponies.
I tell you, the only thing that's keeping me going is knowing that I have a huge horse penis.
They tend to be inquisitive and mischievous, and they do come into the car park, he said, and sneak up behind customers.
The pictures are great.
Yeah, so just the horse.
Yeah.
So a horse walks into a bar. Exactly.
Why the long face?
It's right out of that joke, and that is what I have for you. In the Bizarre File this morning, let's take another quick break. We'll come back in a moment or two. New Word of the Week prize this weekend. We have a four-pack of tickets for the MMA Pro League at Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City this Saturday. Saturday, it also comes with two rooms, food vouchers, and meet and greets with pictures in the cage. Pretty sweet deal. So we'll get that first letter coming up at the end of the program. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
2,718 songs.
Wow.
That's what Marissa said. She did the math and came back with that number. So give or take a couple, 2,718 songs.
It's amazing. Cool,
yeah, no repeats. Not
no.
One. I love it. I have to admit that as lousy as this weather has been the past couple of days and continues to be today.
Are you crazy happy?
No. On Saturday, Marissa and I did an appearance at Acme on Snyder Avenue in South Philly. It was kind of nice. Now, listen, we work in a very casual environment. We can wear whatever we want to work. So,
yes,
it was kind of nice to put on long pants, to wear jeans on Saturday. I don't know why it felt kind of nice. You know, I will miss shorts in the very, very near future. But it was kind of nice to put on that. And yesterday I wore a little hoodie jacket.
It's nice. As an adult, it's time. This is the time of year where you put on your sweatpants and superhero shirts.
It's true.
Sweatpants and superhero shirts.
It's what you do. But
yeah,
it was,
that's what an adult does when they're getting ready to go to work. I love fall, and I love the. Now, mind you, we're still going to get some warm temperatures.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was just
yeah.
an anomaly.
We're not done.
But, you know, things.
I'm not ready yet, though.
Yeah. Well,
no, I mean, I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt and Birkenstock sandals right now.
I have all my Halloween stuff staged in the garage, ready to go.
But I was shivering. I got an internal chill on my walk from the car into the office today. I was oh my God, is
here
it time?
It is.
Is it time? I don't know. I was outside for a soccer game on Saturday afternoon evening.
Yeah.
And I still wore shorts and a T-shirt, but I had a little. Jacket with me, a little windbreaker and stuff. So
you can take shorts all the way through to, especially if there's an Indian summer, mid-October,
sure.
I think. Yeah, even a little bit later.
I liked it, though. I think I was sad that summer was over, but this weekend, because it was rainy and a little bit colder, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm into
and
this.
It won't be, though, for a little while.
What'd you do?
You want to know what I did this weekend? I took out my fall decorations.
Fall decorations.
We decorated.
Now, by fall, did you put out full Halloween or just fall?
No, just fall, which made Jace very angry. He thought we were going to put the skeletons and everything out. So we have a few skeletons that we put out at his request.
All right, let me ask if you placed these type of things out on your front porch. A hay bale?
Well, okay, so
is that a little too big?
I didn't go to the farm yet to get the hay and the pumpkins and all that. So this was just inside.
Do you get corn stalks as well? You do get those as well?
Yes, they're a pain in the ass, man.
Are they? Okay.
And especially by the time it rolls, because I'll keep them up through Thanksgiving. So by the time it comes where you got to put your Christmas decorations out, like, they're nasty.
Yeah.
And they need to go.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. And any gourds? You get any?
I will get all of that.
You get that later on.
I have to go to, it was raining, so we couldn't go to the farm. So
and it's too early. Right now, it's just a touch too, but I mean, like, by this weekend, I think you can go and have it. But you don't want the stuff rotting by the time you get to Halloween.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking about you a bunch this weekend, Kathy, because I did.
I was thinking about you too.
Oh, that's nice. Three different locations.
I wish you were dead.
He's so gross.
No, I was chewing really loudly and I was annoying everybody who was around me. No, they were all positive thoughts. I went to three different locations that have made your lists in the past.
And one that hasn't, but is making it this year because I just learned about it and it looks amazing.
Well, don't tape your full activities.
I won't.
Yeah, let's hold off on the for the list.
All right,
but
then. I'll stop talking.
No, but no, we just want to hang on for the for her official rollout of the autumn activities list.
Yes, I'm interested in your autumn activities. I'm compiling a list. Let me just turn down my volume. I'm getting feedback because I'm actually a broadcast.
Isn't autumn a little more pretentious than fall, by the way?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Autumn. I'm interested in your autumn activities.
Well, listen, if the cooler weather is going to keep you indoors, I mean, like we're just getting the taste of it first. It's going to be warm for, again. We're getting up to the 80s tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, so.
But as we are starting to have our mindset heading towards cooler time, maybe indoors is more for you. There is a company that is hiring someone to watch TV for $20 an hour starting this fall. And if you're a binge-watching pro, this might be right up your alley.
And they're looking specifically for people who are going to binge-watch programs?
Yes.
Okay.
This week, applications open up for a position with what's called howtowatch.com. The successful candidate will be responsible to test out different live streaming platforms. And one lucky applicant, a professional couch potato, as the job describes, will be paid $2,000 to watch 100 hours of TV starting this October across 8 different streaming platforms, and the logins and subscriptions to those platforms are included in the job.
So they're getting a real user assessment of these different streaming services and how they give you the shows.
Exactly.
And how I have my preferences.
Yeah.
Do you have yours as far as like, I think Netflix has got it down to a science. I also like that it's 4K and Dolby Vision and all this stuff is available. You can watch in optimum conditions.
Yeah. The only thing that I wish and that is a bit of a mystery to me, the only platforms that I use.
How do they fit those people in that box?
Yeah, how do they do that? There's so many. No, is between, I only use Netflix and Hulu, and is if you could just get a definitive list of all the movies that are on there without having to scroll. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I wish you could ever do a search?
I wish you could go online on your computer, on your laptop,
and see,
and conveniently pull up all the movies that are on Netflix.
When you go looking, do you just kind of, you know, sort of just screw around and go through, scroll through, or do you go with, do you go under genre?
Well, I do either or. I'll go under genre, or I'll go on, because there's a gazillion different genre categories they have, or I'll search out a very specific title that I'm going for, and it'll tease you. Because you'll put the word in, and it'll have the title of the movie up there, but the freaking movie's not on the service.
Well, they called up something here. It says, here's your complete list of all the available movies on Netflix in the U.S. And I guess this is updated from year to year to year and whatever.
But they change stuff for every few months.
They do, and movies come off the list, and some go on. You know what I did notice?
But that's my own pet peeve about it. That's it.
No, I'm with you. It's a little annoying to search the movies. Like, I wish it was... there was a little bit of a better way.
I have so many freaking streaming services. I have, you know, I have the Roku. I have the Apple Fire Cube. I have the Apple TV. I have the suite of stuff in the TV itself. Tons and tons and tons of stuff. You know, you almost actively have to work to miss something. I did notice, though, I was watching Jack Ryan, which I would wholly recommend, Preston, on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Casey, and I think we were mentioning it. When one episode finishes it off, bam, you've got like 3 seconds and the next one starts up.
You don't have any time to say, no, I want to wait.
Let me take a pause. I have to go take a leak.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, that's how I ended up watching all of Jack Ryan in one day.
All right, so howtowatch.com said, our goal is to hire a TV watching pro who knows their way around live streaming platforms and loves watching sports, TV shows, news, and other live programs. We will task this contracted employee with evaluating the streaming experience on 8 live streaming platforms over the course of a month. We'll use their insights to offer our readers a research-backed list of the best and worst platforms for live streaming. So you're going to basically review these services.
Yes.
The company is looking for applicants who are also active on Twitter and or Reddit, with bonus points if you're already a social media influencer.
Ooh, Kathy.
You need to be able to recognize if what you're watching is a high-quality stream or not. And you'll have to keep detailed notes on the way each service performs based on a scoring sheet from How to Watch to help them create the best possible guides to these services.
So some of this speaks directly to me. There are other aspects of it that would not be. Like, I can tell that I will watch certain things on certain devices because I want it to look its absolute optimum best, you know, and so I am aware of that. However, you know, I don't watch a lot of sports in and above what's already on broadcast television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's what they want you to watch. And so tell me if you have these, Steve. DirecTV Now.
No.
Fubo TV.
It's a feature. Yeah. It just started up.
Hulu with live TV.
I have Hulu, but I'm not using it to watch live TV.
Philo.
Not familiar.
PlayStation View.
Yes.
Sling TV.
Have that.
Is that the Sling Box?
This is different. Then I would not be good for this because they're looking for the streaming services that mimic like a cable package.
My dad has Sling TV.
Right.
And he uses it. He likes it. And his TV watching is much more simple than yours, Steve.
So they're talking about for people who are cord cutters more primarily, people who are going to use like the PlayStation View is if you don't want to get cable, if you don't want to get DirecTV and you want to have all your it provides broadcast television through your PlayStation.
And also YouTube TV.
Okay. So, yes, that's exactly what they're not going for, like the Hulus and the general streaming services outside of the regular stuff. They're going for stuff that mimics, that provides an alternative to DirecTV or Comcast or whatever.
All right, so it's $20 an hour that you can get paid to do this, and one participant will get $2,000 to watch 100 hours of TV. So you can apply. Just go to howtowatch.com, and maybe you can get paid for watching TV.
I was reading an assessment of these things, and you know, like if you watch a lot of television, and we do, I do. I you don't watch as much, Preston. You're more movies, and I watch a lot of movies as well. But if you do watch a lot of television, and you daisy chain the services together, you know, the subscriptions, and you're a cord cutter, you're going to end up at about $10, maybe $10. Within $10 of what you'd pay for a cable package. Like, it can get that expensive if you're going to go with CBS's subscription service and Netflix's subscription service and HBO To Go subscription service. So if you start to add it up, it will, you know, you'll be in the realm. If you're an active television watcher, if you specifically watch a handful of things, then it might be more in your, you know, your benefit.
So I cut the cord a few years ago, and I have Apple TV, I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime. And I have a digital antenna.
Okay.
And those for me are enough. But however, that said, and I used to have the HBO app because I loved HBO, but when Game of Thrones ended, I stopped that. And when it comes back, I'll renew it again. But I would pay for individual apps like NBC Sports, for example.
Okay.
I think that's a terrific channel, and I love what they have to offer. I love local sports. But they right now, the only way to get that is if you have the app, you have to have a cable or a similar subscription somewhere, and I don't have that.
Well, you know, Xfinity now has Netflix. It has Amazon Prime, I believe, is coming to.
Oh yeah, it's not available yet.
Right, but it's coming. So they all know the
I think they'll get there.
They want you to be everyone's looking to be your one stop for all of that, where it's all integrated through one thing, and so it's smart of them to do that. Just incorporate all of these streaming services into your regular Xfinity package.
You guys seen the commercial? I guess it's for Sling TV. I'm not 100% sure with this couple at a party. It's a Slingers party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
It's really funny.
They think it's Swingers. Well,
yeah. They were like, why? What kind of party did you
think
this was?
The guy starts to take his shirt off.
No. Does he take his shirt off?
Yeah. He's starting to.
Hey, you want a sling? And he was like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He takes his shirt off immediately.
It's pretty funny. There's another one as well. But
So years ago, there used to be the Sling Box, which would be I actually had it, and then you would connect it to your cable box, and if you know, you could just tap into it wherever you were. You had the software and everything, but now they already have that. That's integrated into the Xfinity package.
Steve, obviously there's billions of things of content on YouTube, but I haven't watched any actual original YouTube programming. Have you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Is it worth a damn?
The question has to eventually come up, how much time do you have in your life?
Not enough.
You know, I'm playing catch up. Take a quick review of your DVR and how many shows you have yet to watch that you've recorded.
Yeah.
And if you have a lot, then no, it's not worth it. I mean, you'd have to have something that my standards now for a show have to be, if it's not effing awesome in the first episode or second episode, sorry, you know, there's just too much that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually was watching something on Netflix that, I think I gave it 15 minutes. It was supposed to be a study of serial killers, and I started watching it, and I thought each episode was going to be on different killers.
It was Serial Killers in Paradise.
I can't remember what it was called, but
it's a reality show.
It was terrible.
I'll kill you. I'm going to kill you.
It was like the vaguest of all vaguities.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, and Ted Bundy was kind of like that as well. You know?
Oh, well, there's sub-channels, Preston. Uh-huh. There is an entire channel devoted to what they call found footage horror movies. And I know you and I are big fans.
Yeah,
there's
like
an entire channel devoted to just that.
I didn't know there were that
it's called
many that
POV.
Were available.
Yes.
POV.
POV, yeah.
Point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that from another industry that different, uses
exactly.
that particular...
Different channel.
Yeah.
Somebody texted this in and I forgot, but the Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid...
I didn't care for it.
Well, but that was on YouTube.
It was on YouTube.
It was a YouTube original programming,
They
right?
gave you, like, the first two episodes for free.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to watch the rest of it, you had to subscribe.
Well, right. Nick, to the point now, so they've announced over the weekend, or it's leaked out, or however the information gets out... Apple TV, you know, is now original content, and they've made deals with M. Night Shyamalan and Steven Spielberg. So now there's going to be a whole spate of new original programming.
You know what sucks is there's so much programming. We've talked about this many times, but when you are watching something and you don't know anybody else who's watching that thing and you can't talk to them
nobody
about
talk
it,
to
I'm curious if there's anybody listening. I'm watching this and I don't know anybody who's watching it. 215-263-WMMR. Because what's great about a great show is someone to talk to them about the
show. I'll tell you one.
What?
For me, no one I know was watching The Lost in Space on Netflix.
I watched the first episode and it was great, but it didn't interest me enough to stick with it. But it was really well done.
Yeah.
You're still watching it?
Oh, I watched, it was 8 episodes. Yeah, season 1.
Oh, okay, so the first season's over. Yeah. They're going to do a second season?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
I loved two full seasons of Goliath on Amazon Prime. And, anybody even here?
Oh, that's the Billy Bob Thornton one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned the Duplass brothers. Mark Duplass is in the second season.
Okay.
And everybody kept talking, so I'm, looking at reviews. I'm, because I didn't necessarily care for the way it ended. And everybody's talking about him as if he was a known person. I'm like, I've never even seen this guy before.
I'll see ads for Goliath if I watch something else on Amazon Prime. So they'll run that as a pre-roll for something else coming up. But I also find it interesting when there are new shows that they debut on a pay channel. For example, Kidding, the new Jim Carrey one where he plays Mr. Rogers. I don't have Showtime, but they allowed people to watch that episode, the very first episode, in full on YouTube for free. However, it was edited. So there was some cursing that was edited out, and there was literally some nudity. I know, and it's weird, but on YouTube for free, but not quite the Showtime version of it.
In a way, I really, it was much simpler when there was, the Soviet Union controlled what you were watching a little,
You didn't have a choice.
And then this way, it was a guy singing without lyrics. It was much better.
HBO puts John Oliver's show on YouTube for free every week. And that's a pay channel that you can watch for free on YouTube.
Here's somebody texts in and says, I love Dick with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah. That's a show? That's a great show. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's called I Love Dick.
Oh, it's called I Love Dick.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And he got critical acclaim for it. He might have won an Emmy for it.
Really?
And you've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
I started watching that.
It's a great show. I hadn't even considered watching it. And then they won all these Emmys. And I was like, okay, I guess I need to watch this. And the only person that I know that has watched it is your friend Will. Press.
Okay. All right.
Do you know what I decided though? I'm gonna get started. I'm gonna do some catch up. I'm gonna watch Law and Order.
I have to write these down though because I am a binge watcher now. I will sit down and I'll finish a whole season in 2 weeks or something.
Were you a fan of 30 Rock or?
I watched 30 Rock here and there. That wasn't
because the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is a great series.
All right, let me go to some calls. I have Chris. We'll go to first. Chris, good morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
What? What's up, Chris?
This is right up Kathy's alley. Timeless on NBC. It's
okay,
about
it
history and time travel.
No, it's not.
So
they cancel it.
They had the first season and they canceled it and they brought it back and then they're making a two-part movie.
And do you know anyone who watches it?
No, no one.
Not one person.
No one. Everyone listens just what?
I watched the first episode. For example, in along that realm, to echo what you're saying, I watched the 12 Monkeys series.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
On sci-fi. So you watched it?
Yes.
Was it not great?
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the only person I know who watched it.
Yeah, so Chris, are you now resorting to maybe reaching out and finding discussion groups online or at least someone that you can chit-chat with about it?
That's not a bad idea.
Man,
well, the great unifier is now it makes you feel lonelier than ever.
Right? You're right.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate
monkeys,
it.
Man.
12 Monkeys is a good show.
All right. No, that's right. You can't find anyone you know that watches what you watch, and you're right.
Now, remember, we was Lost?
All alone.
Everybody watched Lost.
It was a sense of community.
It brought us together. Do you remember that? Even the Middle East came together when Lost was on.
Let me go to Bryn. Bryn, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Bryn?
Oh, it's Monday.
Yeah, I hear you. So what show do you watch that you know no one who watches?
Sense8 on Netflix.
Okay, I watched a little bit of Sense8. I thought it was good. It wasn't enough to keep me hooked. Did you watched it all the way? You loved it?
Yeah, you know what? You had to get past like that 4 episodes, and I was hooked. And I kept going into work, and nobody was watching this show, and I was so angry, and no one to talk to.
Who were the producers of it again? Was it the Wachowski? Now sisters or?
Oh gosh, you're going to know better than I.
Okay, there's a good pedigree behind it, and they all have abilities. Okay,
exactly.
There's about 500 shows on now where there are superheroes or abilities or it's too much.
So the problem is that when you found a show like she did that she loves and no one's watching it, and you want to share this. You want to discuss it. You want to talk to people about it. And you try to say, hey, I really like this show. You ought to check it out. You can't. I mean, you can say that, but they're not going to hear it because everybody has seen too many shows or they're watching too many shows.
And they don't want to watch your stupid shows.
And they don't want to watch your stupid
shows. And the truth of the matter is that your shows aren't stupid, and you know you're not. Yeah. And you want them to know that, but they think your shows are stupid.
Yeah.
And there are too many shows on that they think aren't stupid, but you know they're wasting their time with stupid shows.
Yep. The last one that I felt like had a communal sense to it in this day and age was Stranger Things.
Agreed.
The people, word of mouth started spreading, and then...
Yeah, the hook sunk.
Yeah, and it seemed like there was this pop culture movement on a Netflix show, and everybody was pretty much watching it at the same time.
What happened after that, Nick, though, was an onslaught of Stranger Things type shows.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you have that's what murkied it up a bit. I will say this, everyone looks, I know I do it. I'll hop around on Netflix. I'm like, oh, is this going to be the next Stranger Things? Is this going to be the next Stranger Things?
But what you can hope for is some type of Stranger Things light substitute that will hold you on until the next season, a year and a half.
It has to be great, though. Yeah. And if it's great, then it's Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get this, and we talked about this last week, Castle Rock. And somebody sent me that apparently
I saw it.
Episode 9 is the one.
I was told that about episode 4 and it wasn't.
Explosive. So I'm still hanging on, but it hasn't hooked me to where like I got to see this, but I'm hanging on because I love Stephen King. Let me go to Lee. Hi, Lee. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? You guys rock.
Thank you, Lee. So what are you watching that nobody's watching?
It's the show. It's an English show. It's on Netflix. I believe it's produced by the BBC, I think. It's called Detectorists.
Detectorists, okay.
Yes, and they go around with metal detectors around these farms and, I don't know, like these fields. And the one guy ends up cheating on his wife. It really doesn't make any sense. And I try to explain it to my friends, and they all pretty much laughed at me.
But you love it. And you're trying to get people to watch it, and no one does. Hey,
Toby Jones.
Yeah, Toby Jones is in it, yeah.
From the Marvel films.
Huh. Yeah, yeah.
Is this an extension of the Marvel Universe? And is this, in fact, Hydra that now has metal detectors because they've been rendered inert?
Yeah, I just don't understand why, like, they would just laugh at us. Like, just check it out. It's a good show if you're hungover.
I have no doubt.
If you're hungover, it's a brilliant show to watch.
I bet you it's great,
okay.
And I will never watch it.
Yeah, that's awesome. The thing.
And that's the problem, though, but I'm sure you're right. Son of a bitch.
You know what, though? I have one person that if she suggests a show, I'll watch it. Like, we seem to be on the same page.
I know
everything.
Who it is. Who? Winnie.
No. Who's Winnie?
I'll tell you later.
No, if you can, if you know, I've had people insist, you really need to watch this. And it's sometimes yes and sometimes no.
That depends on who's saying it, too.
Well, yeah.
That's what I mean. When it comes from, it's my cousin, when it comes from her, I'm like, okay, I know that I'm going to like it. I'm going to check that show
out.
Will
she do likewise for shows you recommend?
Well, she's like such a
TV ahead of you. Okay.
She's ahead of me on everything.
All right, lines 2 and 3. I'm looking at the screen right now. Both of those shows I love and I'm addicted
to. We love?
Yeah.
And what?
I'm sorry. And they're great shows. So if you wanted to go to lines 2 or 3.
Okay, I'll do that. Let me go to Charles. Hey, Charles. Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Sorry.
I watch Ozark on Netflix.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Season 2 just came out. I'm currently watching it.
Almost done season 2.
So this is the Jason Bateman series, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But this isn't one that's really flying under the radar, though.
I mean, it's doing pretty well. But you don't know anybody, Charles, that's watching it?
No.
Nope. Okay.
No. Nope.
Yeah, it's got a pretty decent buzz about it.
It does. I watched a couple episodes of the first season. I liked it. Yeah. I wasn't blown away.
Yeah.
And I'm moving on.
The funny thing is, I spent years going to the Lake of the Ozarks,
which is
where this takes place,
yeah.
And I haven't really gotten all that caught up in it.
I'm surprised at that, though.
Yeah.
I thought just because of where it was
thought
set.
Thought better of you.
Yeah. No.
Well, that was the reason I started watching The Affair, because it took place in Montauk.
And you had an affair.
But just for that reason alone, I wanted to see, some of the scenery or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I got way into the show.
Yeah, I'll probably catch back to this. And the other one was This Call, Nick. It's Lauren who's on the line. Lauren, good morning.
Peanut butter.
It's Casey. What's up, Lauren?
Hey, I watched Bloodline on Netflix, and it is phenomenal.
It did end, though.
Don't
yes.
Tell her.
Yeah. So the there were only 3 seasons. There were supposed to be 4, and they've not renewed it.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But Kyle Chandler and Sissy Spacek, it was just I would watch a season in 2 days. It was great.
And Lauren, did you get to talk to anybody about it?
No, nobody.
Okay, so what's the gist of Bloodline?
So it's a family down in Florida that I guess there's just all kinds of family secrets. A really rich family, a well-to-do family that owns a hotel down in Florida.
Are they huge robots?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Dan, I'm on board. No. So it's I can see why it appeals to you, Kathy. You love Brothers and Sisters. Is similar vibe?
Oh no.
But that's how it started out. Yeah. Remember, if you remember the very first episode, it pulled me in. I was like, yes, it's sort of like that, this family. But then it takes like a dark turn.
It gets really dark. And Ben Mendelsohn's in it. He's phenomenal. He plays Danny, the brother. And he's like this. You don't know if he's evil, if he's good. It's really well done.
Well, hopefully you'll find somebody to talk to about Lauren. One of the tough things about trying to get someone to watch a show that you're watching that they're not watching is the proper way of describing it to them. Because you got to hook them in the description of it.
I have the way to describe it.
Okay.
All right. So what's your favorite show?
Me?
Yeah.
Handmaid's Tale.
The show that I'm watching, I want you to watch, is just like that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Fair enough.
Even
and
if
you
it's not.
Got him. Yeah. So we were at a party. We were at a dinner party on Saturday night, and we had asked out loud, because we just started talking about TV shows, and we said, is anybody watching A Handmaid's Tale? And none of them were.
Yeah.
So now we've got to tell them what it's about. And I'm tasked to describe it the proper way.
They weren't aware of the book? Or?
No, none of them had even heard of it, which I thought was very, very interesting because it's won all these awards.
Yeah.
The book's been around since the 1950s or 60s, I think. But anyhow, so I had the task of describing it, and I think I did a pretty good job. And some people are either like, wow, that's pretty cool. Or they're like,
Well, that's when you go to each one separate. What's your favorite movie, Stroke or Ace?
It's just like that.
And I do like Handmaid's Tale, but
Grown Ups, just like that.
It moves so slow, and it's like the lighting is dark that I can't watch a lot of episodes at once. I can definitely do like.
But you're enjoying it.
No, I finished it. I enjoyed it, but only just because you watch it, Murph watches it, my wife. I'm like, all right, so I got to watch this just for
that. To me, it doesn't feel like it moves slow.
Yeah.
I'm like on edge in every scene to watch it. So it all depends on what you're used to. And I've watched slow moving progressing programs before, but anything can happen at any time on that show as far as my psyche is.
You know what's funny? I don't know any character's name. So Nick, you had mentioned the guy's name is Danny in that show. I don't.
In Bloodline?
In Bloodline.
Yeah.
I've watched almost all of Ozark. I don't know what Jason Bateman's name
is. It's Jason Bateman. Yeah.
He's just that guy.
It's just Jason Bateman.
Lauren Linney.
Yeah.
I know. I get the same way, too.
Yeah.
There's sometimes characters I'm like, the guy who's, the boss.
The head guy.
The boss guy.
Marissa, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, it's really funny we're having this conversation because I've been meaning to ask you guys for like 2 weeks now, but I'm scared you're all going to say no. Is anybody watching Succession on HBO?
No. I've never even heard of it.
Okay. I tried.
Brian Cox is the dad. He's the guy from Super Troopers.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. And it's like about a media mogul who has a stroke, and all of his kids think that they're going to leave him, they're going to get the company.
Okay.
But he comes back and is like taking over the company again. It's really, really good, and I highly recommend it.
And do you know anybody who's watching it?
No.
Okay, see, and there you are. You're stuck on your island of your television show that you desperately
all alone.
Want to talk to someone about. You're right, Steve. The great.
I'm all alone in the world.
We got to. Oh, yeah, Marissa, hang on. Yeah?
It's kind of like Billions. So I know some of you guys watch Billions, so I'm going to throw that back out there.
Preston, okay. Do you like A Handmaid's Tale?
I do.
It's just like that.
It's just like that. let me go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jay?
Hey, so a show that I watch that nobody else seems to be watching is GLOW.
Oh, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
Mark Maron.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like something where I'm like, oh, you know, it combines the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people don't even remember GLOW. I'm like, no. You remember? After,
I watched it, yeah.
Yeah, after the, you know, when it was back when it was the WWF, I'm like, GLOW was on right after.
Right.
I mean.
And Alison Brie is in it, yes?
Yeah, and it's a great show, but everybody's like, first of all, I have to explain to them what GLOW is.
Yes.
And then after that, they're like, oh, and they made a show about it?
I'm great, Jay. If you'll excuse me, I have to check on the pizza bagel.
Well, we watched the first two episodes over the weekend because my friend Will was like, you guys aren't watching that? I'm like, no, I had no idea, you know. So
do you love it?
It's only 30 minutes. No, I don't love it. it's only 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
But Mark Maron's great in it, and I really did enjoy him, but I'm not sold on the whole thing, you know.
Right. Then you need to do the conscientious thing, which is to never watch it again.
Right? Yeah,
it didn't hook you.
Not only did I watch a show that nobody watched, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was it's a German show on Netflix.
It's called Und Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yeah, it's not called that. It is about this one tunnel that people go into in the woods, and it splits. And if you go to the one part of the tunnel, you go like 3 years in the past.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
I started watching it. Dark. So
yes,
I started
it's
watching
really
it.
Really good.
I've only gotten two episodes into it. Should I continue?
Oh, yeah. Because there's definitely going to be another season. And not only, it's German and it's overdubbed in English.
Yeah. Or it wouldn't work the other way.
It would not.
Yeah. I don't know what they're saying.
But even though their lips aren't like matching it's pretty damn close.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
It also depends on time and mood and whatever, because my brother tried to introduce me to Breaking Bad 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the mood for it. And we watched the first episode and it didn't hook me. And then I watched it 2 years ago or last year or whatever. And Preston, you and I kind of watched it at the same time. Mm-hmm. I became addicted to it. I was able to watch it on Netflix so I could binge it. And now I love that show so much that then I got addicted to Better Call Saul.
Maybe now, Nick, is the time to start binging Gunsmoke.
Yeah, well, honestly, if it's good TV and good content and I can binge it, that's how I like that's how I like consuming TV now.
Yeah, I do too. And I mainly use it for, like I told you, Breaking Bad. I watched exclusively while exercising.
Right.
And I was a captivated audience. I needed something to watch, and that was it. But the reason I started watching that is because I read a review that said it was the greatest television show of all time.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with that. It was really good and entertaining, but it did catch me.
Well, not while Small Wonder's still on.
Please.
I mean, I love Sopranos, but you never did. The Sopranos never grabbed you. And maybe at some point in your life, if you revisit it or you catch it in another time or another mood, you would like it, but maybe not. And so, but some people consider The Sopranos the greatest show of all time.
I don't think I can get past the voice.
I get it.
Yeah. Breathing and the eating.
You think you could do this? I don't think you could do this.
Yeah. But I loved him. He was great. I loved the series. But that's the last.
And then he eats.
This is great, Baba Zagul. With a pinch of Bullock of Isaac.
And so Sopranos suffered from the what Game of Thrones is doing now, where they would go away for 2 years. And then you'd have to wait to come back. And it was obnoxious.
I know. Kath, final thought.
No, I just had a question about...
what do you want to tell us about?
About Netflix. So there's a show on Netflix, and I got to the last season, and the first three episodes are not available. But the show, I don't think, originally aired on Netflix. I think it's like a Bravo show or something, and I just didn't understand.
What's the name of it?
It's Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. It's a very girly show, but I never saw anything like that. There's three episodes completely missing that
you look for it on Apple TV?
Can't watch, yeah.
Okay.
I want to, real quick, while these people are on hold, don't hang up with them because they've been on hold for a while, but I'll at least mention the shows that they're watching that nobody else is watching. Orphan Black.
Is a great show.
BBC America. The Expanse.
Is a great show.
Into the Badlands.
I watched a little bit. It was okay.
Let's see, Blood Drive.
Already talked about that?
No, we talked about Bloodline.
No, Bloodline.
Anything with blood.
Blood Drive, Storybot.
I have not heard of this.
And Heartland. On Netflix, which is a Canadian show. So, but that's, yeah, you're right, Steve. This great connector is now becoming the great divider.
It's dividing us.
You're watching shows and nobody watches
you're
them.
You're feeling more alone than ever.
No one to speak to about it. It sucks. But listen, if you want to watch and make money, there's a website called howtowatch.com, and they're offering up cash for people who will sit down and watch these streaming services. So look into it.
Yeah.
If you got the time, why not? We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we will have Paul Feig on the program from A Simple Favor, which is opening on Friday. Be back in a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kath. We're happy to have our next guest on. He's been behind some of the big comedies the last several years. Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters, The Heat, Spy. Obviously, he was one of the creators of Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Done some acting, producing, directing, and that's what we're talking about now for this movie, A Simple Favor, which is a creepy-looking movie, so a different turn.
I love thrillers. I do, too. And this looks like it's right in the Hitchcock type of thriller.
Please welcome to the show this morning, Mr. Paul Feig.
Yes. Yes.
Good morning, Paul.
Preston and Steve, thank you so much. Hello, Preston and Steve. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're wonderful. It is a it's a pleasure to have you on. You know what, we watching the trailer from the movie, I get nervous. I get a little weirded out, and these are good tangible emotions that you want for ticket purchasers, I would imagine.
In this case, yes, definitely. I'm really, really thrilled with this movie because it's, you know, I love thrillers too, and I always wanted to make one. And then when this script came to me, it was right in that kind of Hitchcock world where it's super scary and suspenseful and lots of twists and turns, but also it had room to be kind of funny and quirky too. It's a real fun ride.
You know, the great thing about thrillers is that now obviously your comedies are exemplary, and we love them, and just fantastic stuff. However, you get a larger palette of emotions to work with an audience with a thriller. And if it is in the Hitchcock mold, you get the humor, but you get so much more to tap with. And also it's the old rug from under the feet. Did the mischievous side of you enjoy playing with that?
Definitely, definitely. It definitely played into all my Midwestern sensibilities, I have to say, just because it is. It's so much about, like, you know, what people are presenting, you know, as their surface versus what's really going on inside, and sort of about people's secrets and what are we hiding and what are we trying to get away with. And, you know, being from the Midwest, it's, you know, that's where I think we're all kind of obsessed with trying to figure people out. So
yeah,
it was really fun to play with that.
I love it. And I always also think with any director, and you're obviously, you know, vastly capable in this case, but it is a bit of a tightrope when you're dealing with elements of humor and the thriller aspect, and you have to make sure that one doesn't overpower or eclipse the other for both to work.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at all my movies, they're all genre films, basically, you know, a wedding movie, a spy movie, a buddy cop movie, that kind of thing. And so what you have to do with any of these movies to make them work is you have to be, number one, take care of the actual genre you're in. So when you're making a thriller, you have to make it a thriller first. And then the fun comes from how the characters are reacting to sometimes the rather absurd situations that they're in.
You know, you talk about the layers of people and what is just underneath. So you have Anna Kendrick, who plays Stephanie. You have Blake Lively, who plays this Emily, who's a fashion exec. And there's this friendship that sort of forms. But we're dealing with people who in their suburban interaction, there's one world, and then suddenly Anna Kendrick specifically, her character's thrust into another world vis-a-vis what Blake Lively, what her character Emily has going on underneath those layers. So, and I assume, do you like having the ability to take an actor that we assume as one way and have them play against type? Because this is not a classic Blake Lively character.
No, that's literally my favorite thing to do in movies. I mean, we did it with Statham and Spy and just, you know, turning him into kind of a buffoon.
Oh, he was great.
Fun, because knowing how cool he is. Yeah, and then same with, Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters. And so, yeah, with Blake, what was fun about this is, you know, I had heard that she was interested in playing this role, but I, like yourself, said, oh, God, I've never seen her do that. She usually plays sort of the heroine.
Yeah.
But met with her, and she just so wanted to embrace the sort of deliciousness of this character, and she really turns in one hell of a performance. It is so much fun, and she commits 100%.
I love that. So when Hitchcock is mentioned, I mean, he was considered, you know, obviously the master of this kind of thing. What are the lessons, or, you know, any direct inspiration from Hitchcock that you wanted to incorporate into this film?
Well, just the fun, you know. I mean, those movies, they were really fun, and the side characters were quirky and funny, and even, you know, the setups were, you know, what you want to be doing is you want the audience to kind of be like on the edge of their seat, but then like going, the laughs have to come from like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that, or oh, you know,
yeah,
or that's so, you know, over the top or something like that, but always keeping it real. And so, yeah, I just want to bring fun back to the thriller genre.
Paul, I want to compliment you before we leave, because your turn on the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, you show up nearly every episode, and they are the most ridiculous, silly things, but they really highlight how funny and ridiculous TV can be in general. And so I just wanted to thank you for coming on and doing that as much as you do.
Oh, my God. Thanks so much. I mean, literally every week it's like, okay, what? How are you guys going to humiliate me? I find it really fun, you know. it was such a fun show to do, and I'm sad we won't be coming back. But it was.
What, it got canceled?
We did it.
It's done. It's not coming back?
Oh, that sucks.
That's a great show.
Thank you. Well, hey, everybody, write Netflix and tell
them. You know, and since Nick had pointed out, you know, that you not only you're behind the camera, but you do acting roles and writing. You're involved in all levels there. Sometimes you have to blink to catch you. And I want to point you out for your bit role in That Thing You Do, being a disc jockey myself. I know that type of guy that you were playing. For those who made it, there's a moment where he's interviewing the band and he just goes, say hi, fellas. And they say hi. And then he cuts it off and ends the interview right there. All right, guys, just leave your headphones right there. I was I love that little bit. And it sounds like you've got the delivery. Have you done any radio in your time?
I did a bit, and I did some voiceover work too. I mean, if I had not come out to Hollywood and gone into what I do, I think I would have ended up probably being in radio.
Like us.
So much. I would have loved it. No, I think it's the greatest medium, and you know, you guys who do it every day is just, I'm really in awe.
Well, we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But will we see a moment of you somewhere in A Simple Favor? Do you have a Hitchcockian-esque type of bit that rolls through that we might keep an eye out for?
Well, it's my most hidden cameo ever, because there's a shot where we're in front of a building and a bus goes right past camera, and I'm reflected in the bus.
Oh,
normally we would digitally remove it, but I was like, well, that's my cameo.
Well, I like it. Before we have to go, I just have to say, your films, also every one of your films, your directing style, I love. It's right up there on the screen. It's everything just always looks beautiful with the cinematographers you use, the composition and everything. Not to get too geeky, but I appreciate someone who takes time with what ends up on the screen, and you do, and it's appreciated.
Oh, that, you know, that means the world to me. I work with amazing people. I have got the greatest team, and it's just an honor to get to work with them and with these amazing actors. And hopefully it shows up on the screen. So I'm thrilled, and,
cool.
And I think you'll like it. It's
absolutely
a really fun movie.
We're very excited for it.
Hits on Friday, so don't miss it. It's called A Simple Favor, starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. And Paul, thanks for coming on, man. Good luck with you.
Preston and Steve, you guys are the greatest. Philly, I love you, and WMMR rocks.
Yeah.
Nice. Feig, everybody. Yeah.
And the movie is on Friday, like I said. It looks pretty, like Steve, you had said off air, it has like kind of the Gone Girl type of flavor to it. Something
you just
really
don't know. Yeah.
Freaky is going on there.
So. I love that. I love when you don't know right down to the end, and I don't even know if that's the case in this, but I love the what is under that layer you're familiar with. You know, again, the person that you work with, you see out and about or whatever, that, that just has something else that you had not even anticipated.
Speaking of things that might be under the layer and a little bit freaky, too. If you guys, you've heard of the conspiracy theories of the Denver International Airport.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That it's the, you know, the Illuminati or the Freemasons.
And what's buried underneath.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the Denver International Airport has finally admitted that something's going on.
Okay.
That's really?
Yes. It is the one of the
Does
biggest...
this have to do with IHOB?
No, okay. that's all over.
Oh, that's all over? Okay.
Yeah, it turned out it was just a stunt.
Okay.
No, it's one of the biggest airports in the world, just under 53 square miles of developed airport space. The space has loads of restricted areas, underground tunnels, and some weird and even disturbing art, including a giant blue fiberglass Mustang statue with orange glowing eyes.
Jesus.
And it's all very suspicious to some people who are convinced that it's a plot of the Freemasons or Illuminati or a colony of lizard people.
What the happened?
The airport is doing a $650 to $770 million renovation to its Great Hall. And it's put up temporary walls to hide the mess, and they decided to have some fun with the rumors. They put up huge signs featuring gargoyles and space aliens. And one poster says, "What's happening behind this wall?" And the airport also created what they're calling the Den Files, a website that highlights some of the wildest theories that date back to the very beginning of the history of the airport.
You know, I love to see behind the scenes, you know, at various places. For example, I would love to see the whole luggage set up at an airport to go back like you see in Die Hard 2 with that whole thing. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of complex, any sort of, you know, like in the if you ever go to Hoover Dam.
Well, like when we went to the top of the Comcast building.
I love that. I want to see that. What's back
system?
There? Yes.
Yeah, that the very top is all, it's all part of their HVAC system, and they do it, they have a very efficient system, and they wanted to show us. It was cool, man.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to, so the word is, are we going to get a chance to maybe tour the new one, hopefully?
I don't know. Oh, the new building?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I hope so.
We should probably do like a week of shows from the new Four Seasons that's going to be up there, and, you know, just like have suites all week.
God. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, probably
do that.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so some of the interesting theories behind this airport is that so the airport was dedicated on March 19th, 94. And if you add the numbers 191994, you get 33.
Of course.
Oh,
and we all know
my
what
God.
33 means
Rolling Rock.
No idea what the hell it means. Oh, there's conspiracy theories about that, too, I would imagine.
But that's 33, right?
33. Okay, yeah, I think it is, right?
All connected.
Denfile says that it is the highest level that one... Oh, 33 is the highest level that one can obtain in the Freemasonry.
Of course.
So there you go. So therefore...
33.
Yeah.
Didn't we were being offered... Some Masons were offering to try to get us in, correct? Did you get those emails?
Yeah, you can go tour the building, which is supposedly beautiful. Yeah, I met with a Mason... not that long ago.
What is your name?
It was telling me, no, not James Mason.
I'd like to drink some Ripple.
I had a dream about James Mason
really?
Last night. Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to meet with and interview Bradley Cooper. And he has done a new version of A Star is Born.
Yes.
And so A Star is Born, that one of the versions of it.
The second one.
James Mason.
Yes.
And so I had a dream that I was interviewing Bradley Cooper. And I started to speak in James Mason's
voice. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes, it was very strange.
If you want, I'll give you a little bit of audio.
I approve of what you've done, Bradley.
Yes.
I suggest from beyond the grave.
Yeah, so I thought he would appreciate it, that I knew that there was a version starring James Nathan.
I don't appreciate it.
And it actually brought him around.
Okay.
He was more friendly. when I started.
Save that tactic. You don't know. I mean, but I assume he's going to be a you know, a warm and wonderful person since he's a close personal friend.
But I don't do a good James Mason impression.
Maybe that will be
James Mason,
the endearing part.
Maybe. Oh, how cute.
How pathetic. Yeah. Oh, that is horrible.
This kid.
So anyhow, a time capsule, going back to the Denver airport.
Yes, yes.
A time capsule and plaques placed around the airport include Masonic symbols and credit the New World Airport Commission, a group that doesn't exist and sounds suspiciously to the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And this has fueled rumors that the airport is a headquarters for...
It is the only airport I fly in and out of. They have everything, the amenities that I need. I must travel in secret, as you well know. As part of the New World Order, I have special demands and certain neck pillows I need because of this apparatus.
Certain what?
On my face.
What? Certain what?
Neck pillows.
Oh, neck pillows.
Neck pillows.
Because of this attachment on the front of my face.
I couldn't understand you because of the attachment on the front of your face.
Actually, the straps around it cover over my ears. I can't quite hear what you're saying.
Neck
pillows. I'm really a pleasant fellow. I just never understand what's going on.
Well, that's what it is. You're actually a pleasant fellow. You just don't understand.
I don't even know. Push this button? Yeah. Oh, my God. I just blew up the football stadium.
So this is fueled rumors that the airport is a headquarters for the world's elite.
What if it's run by Cinnabon?
Possibly lizard people to ride out the end of the world.
What if the Illuminati's run by Cinnabon?
Well, then that would be kind of pleasant.
We love our pastries. They're covered in a wonderful solution made of sugary goodness. Just as the world spirals in on itself, so too does the cinnamon bun.
Some of the airport's murals are also filled with apocalyptic symbolism. So it's got, so some people think that it has some sort of deeper meaning.
So that's what the conspiracy is that this is a headquarters and that they know when the world's going to end?
Yeah, something like that. And that there's a bunker and everybody's going to, you know, that's where they'll meet or I don't know.
But like, why even give out clues?
We're giving out free samples outside the type.
What's that, Casey?
I know. If you were part of some secret society and all of this stuff was really happening, why even give out any clues?
Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, what's the fun of keeping a secret if you can't have,
have
people
envy
you?
Yeah.
Besides that, the best way to poo-poo a secret society is to actually release stuff and make people go, ah, that's a bunch of muck.
Hide it in plain sight.
So you think this will further their...
Exactly.
Yeah.
All coming together in my master plan.
So in 2011, ridiculous segment, CNN's Anderson Cooper looked at a YouTuber who was convinced that there were other kinds of hidden symbols in the art. Travelers will get to see what's really behind all the walls in late 2021 when the final phase of the project is scheduled to be completed.
If you could get a behind-the-scenes walk-around or a subterranean walk-around of some place, what's on your list?
Greenbrier would...
Greenbrier, you did. Yeah, which is where they in an apocalyptic nuclear scenario, the Senate was supposed to go there?
Yeah.
The hierarchy of the government?
Yes, they were supposed to take them there for...
Where's my room?
I wouldn't mind seeing something like... I mean, if you really want to shoot for the moon...
Yeah, the moon.
The White House.
Oh, the White House, yeah.
Seeing if there are indeed, you know, bunkers and
Kennedy hallways.
Passageways and things like that.
Bring mail into Tunnel 4.
Or the or see the, you know, like the war room in the Pentagon or something like that. I've seen documentaries where they take you into Strategic Air Command, which is pretty wild. What's that called? No, it's not Langley. It's a name like that where it's just I've forgotten the name of it. But anyway,
Shemp.
I saw Shemp.
Yeah.
Welcome to Shemp.
Name?
No one will ever know.
Strategic
Mount Shemp.
Mount Shemp.
Wait, what is show?
Strategic
Homeland.
Emancipation. Oh. Emergency
Management.
Management Protocol.
There we go.
Military.
Military Protocol.
Military
Protocol. Strategic Homeland
Emergency Military Protocol.
Ship Protocol.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Shemp is outside. What did you do?
Is it Langley? Am I right about that?
I think you are.
Well, Langley is where the CIA is. Is that what you're thinking?
That's not what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. This is out in like the mountains of Oregon or something like that. It's hidden. It's a
Nordstrom
fortress
or something like that.
NORAD.
They do have a. Oh, we got Kathy. Someone just joined. NORAD.
North.
Wow.
North.
Oregon.
National organization.
Oregano.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, dear Lord.
And we return to Cinnabon.
Yes, exactly. All right. Maybe
okay.
Somebody...
North American Aerospace Defense Command.
NORAD.
Yeah, that's it. Anyhow, I did see a documentary where they took you inside there and showed you around. They didn't show anything that was overly sensitive, but like that giant war room in
Dr. Strangelove?
No. Well, in War Games.
Okay.
Which takes place at NORAD is not that way. It's just, it's office. It's offices. And even though they're in totally control off of the nuclear weapons, yeah, they're still, they just look like your standard offices with computer terminals and things like right that.
What I would love to see is in this area, have there been any decommissioned missile silos or subterranean, you know, those places. I would love to take a tour around stuff like that.
Yeah, I did go and see. Remember, we talked about in the Cold War that around here that there were missiles.
Yes,
there were anti-aircraft missiles, and I went and saw the, because people had described to me where they used to be, the, like in Bluebell, I think yeah there was one, but where the pads were, where they kept them, and I went and saw where they were. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was not much to it.
Was there but there, we assume
nothing subterranean.
No, ah, damn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I wouldn't mind seeing something
yes
like that.
Yes, I want to see that.
You would really ask, cool, and I was like, maybe Lambeau. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Lambeau Field. And
you know, oh, you're thinking more along those lines.
Yeah. Because yeah I was watching the game last night, and they were showing sure people well taking tours of
Mall of
Lambeau
America
Field.
Those like, you actually can take tours.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say that.
We're talking
that
about
I
stuff that you can't.
I'd like to go that to Universal question Studios.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'd like to go take a tour of that.
No, I was thinking more along the lines of restricted areas, things that only a certain few
I'd like to go to the Constitution Center.
Are able to check out. So anyway.
You know, terror behind the walls.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Haunted house. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody texted in these Nike missile sites. There was one in Paoli near where I grew up, and I think the purpose, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the purpose of the Nike missile sites was to shoot down, I think they were anti-incoming missile sites.
Yes.
And there were four or five of them.
Missiles?
Yeah. So,
wow.
And now it's at least the one in Paoli got the government sold it years ago to a developer. It's like really high-end housing, like beautiful McMansions. But I don't think any of the underground stuff.
Wouldn't you love to see like a full old decommissioned defense, you know,
yeah,
a missile silo, subterranean.
Can't you go to ones in like North Dakota?
You can. You yeah can. Okay. In fact, there's some that occasionally pop up for sale and people do live in them.
In the silos?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Here, this same person texted these two things, says, I would really love to know if there is really a president's book with all of our nation's secrets.
Yeah.
Which is from the National Treasure movies.
Right.
And Casey, was this from Spies R Us? It says, are the missile silos accessible from drive-in movie theaters?
Yes.
Okay, yes. That's when they first go in. Yeah. Remember, they step on that platform. They drop down like 150 stories.
Yep. Well, some people believe that these types of things exist at the Denver International Airport, that there's a lot going on that we're not aware of and that it's a conspiracy theory. So
it is a nice airport.
But it's beautiful. Yeah. I love that airport.
Yeah. Sprawling.
Some great food it's there. Like
they got that part right.
Yeah, they do.
All right,
we need to move along. And Casey, I want to give away some more of those movie passes for The Predator, which it's we have tonight. And you know what? I've got like 20 of these left. We need to get them all away. And that was my fault. It's not a sign of desperation. So
20 is a desperate number. Sounds like the work of someone who's not planned for the New World Order. We let the day slip upon him, and now we're trapped with many tickets to a movie we've been asked to endorse and promote.
It's at the Ritz East, and it's tonight at 7:30. You need to be there by 7.
It looks really good.
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. The movie opens on Friday, but we will get you in there tonight. So we're going to take a break, come back in a second. More Bizarre File stories are on the way. Stay with us.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica, on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
What say, Fussy Britches? Let's get into some B-File stories. We'll start with this horrible, horrible story. Staff at two senior care centers actually abandoned residents during an evacuation as wildfires swept through Northern California last October. State officials have said Thursday, and they moved to revoke the licenses from the Santa Rosa facilities.
You're on your own!
And their top administrators. Nobody in either facility died. But listen to this. The Department of Social Services complaint says that more than 20 people would have died when a dementia facility burned to the ground if family members and emergency responders hadn't evacuated them after all the staff left them there alone.
So there's got to be criminal charges for that, correct?
I don't know. I would hope somebody's, you know, going to fry for this.
You knowingly leave an area and expose these people to potential death by fire.
Now, the investigation says that night staff members at Villa Capri were not trained in emergency procedures and had never practiced in a fire drill.
By the way,
don't you think you might want to train the night staff on a couple of those things?
No.
Fires don't happen
They don't happen at night. For God's sakes, you can't see him.
They couldn't find keys to a bus that could have sped evacuations.
Oh, that thing's never run.
And at least three residents were never evacuated from another facility called Verena. Workers who found them the next morning lied about it. Both care centers are actually owned by the same place, Oakmont Senior Living, which called the allegations unfounded. So there are going to be some charges.
Your loved ones matter to you. And you don't mind them occasionally burning today. Farina.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What horrible people. So we'll see what ends up happening.
Couldn't they have grabbed up one or two, each of the staff, and thrown them in the car?
You could at least throw one over your shoulder.
Yeah, come on. Shut up.
There's not a stuffed salmon recipe on earth that asks you to stuff your salmon into your neighbor's gas tank. But that's what happened. And Vail police found out about it. A Vail resident received a rap on the wrist after she allegedly stuffed smoked salmon into her neighbor's gas tank.
Okay.
I like smoked salmon.
There was a picture of it, too. It's crazy. It looks like you would expect it to. The neighbors live next to each other in a duplex and have been feuding for months over the usual neighbor stuff, parking, loud music, cable TV.
Fish.
Vail police got involved when an elderly man called a report that when he tried to gas up his minivan, he removed the filler cap and discovered that the nozzle was stuffed with what he thought was canned salmon. Alas, no, it was smoked salmon. A police officer discovered when he was summoned to the scene of the crime.
I assume salmon in the gas lines would be an issue, right?
Anything in your gasoline is going to mess it up, yeah. A quick investigation uncovered a few facts. The man's neighbor, living in the duplex next door, had served smoked salmon for dinner the night before. They had leftovers. She denied knowing anything about the smoked stuffed salmon into her neighbor's gas tank and could not imagine how it got there. She allegedly also plays her music really loud during the day, as well as other non-neighborly behavior, which irritates the elderly couple next door. The officer explained that under no certain terms, he did not believe that she had nothing to do with stuffing smoked salmon into her neighbor's gas tank.
You're a freaking liar.
But she insisted to the officer that her neighbors were also being non-neighborly and had given Comcast permission to run a cable by digging up her yard. Comcast, the officer patiently explained, has a utility easement and does not need anyone's permission. No charges were filed, although a local mechanic charged the elderly couple $211 to clean up the salmon and their gas tank. The officer suggested that the elderly couple hire an attorney
against this
one. Or, so. Or move.
Yeah, maybe they have one.
It's too annoying.
Police arrested a man well known to them Friday morning, undaunted by his appearance in a clown costume. The suspect, Ronald M. Singleton, had allegedly entered a vacant house. Once inside, Singleton put on a colorful red, white, and blue-yellow costume, came outside, and began kicking the door of a second empty building that formerly housed a law office. He also carried a complimenting multicolored umbrella. The witness, an employee of a nearby business, called police, and they arrested Singleton, still dressed in his satin costume.
I'm just trying to expand my business.
Singleton had left the umbrella behind on the steps of the second building. It was too early to say what charges Singleton might face.
Yeah, what are the charges?
In the incident.
I am a lawyer.
We are waiting to find out. One night last month, a driver in the city of Tianjin got tired of waiting on a traffic light to turn green. So he got out of his car. He took a run at the light and used his momentum to actually topple it to the ground. He knocked
the light over.
The street light to the ground.
Well, they're well built over there.
It's not clear how long the driver waited before resorting to this takedown. Using surveillance footage, police recently were able to track the man down, and he's been punished with a fine.
Couldn't he just driven through it?
And 5-day detention. You know what? He probably could have. Yes. But maybe he had been, maybe for several days it had pissed him off.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. A man who rented a luxury home in San Francisco through Airbnb trashed it, leaving used needles and human waste. Yes, Steve, lots of poop throughout the $5 million home in San Francisco.
I tell you, the city's gone crazy.
Yeah. The owner...
They're pooping on the streets and they're pooping in the Airbnbs.
Yeah, the owner of the home does not want to reveal any identifying details about where this house is located.
You think we have no bathrooms left in the city?
Other than it is one of the city's most desirable neighborhoods.
God, I love San Francisco.
He said empty bottles, bent spoons, and open containers among the other trash and debris were strewn about.
I love it for the debris.
High on a hill.
Lots of debris. Plus, as there were needles throughout the entire living space, there were dozens of Amazon boxes inside the home, blood-stained sheets.
You're making me homesick.
In the bedroom, the trash cans were full and appeared as though they had never been emptied, and pest control crews needed to be called in, and the plumbing was currently unusable.
Of sugar plums stands to my head.
Yeah, after the tenant... who has not been identified, by the way, checked out after about 3.5 months. He surveyed the property and said, "We immediately smelled the stench right outside the door."
Can you believe? It's subhuman.
He said, "We saw garbage everywhere." Yeah.
That's why, to me, this whole notion of Airbnb, or you end up with one of these situations. Yeah. Well, we're looking at it. It's a disaster.
He essentially used this place as a safe place to...
Show me where they pooped.
Place for him to inject heroin. Airbnb is now working with the homeowner to help him fire a claim under the $1 million host guarantee. I had a friend who used Airbnb recently. You know, that's it. That's it for the Bizarre File.
Yeah, that was it?
And, that's all. Sorry. Sorry, Tony. and they had apparently gone... They had shown up, and it was one of those cases where the owner... had taken a picture of the only decent part of the house.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
In an angle that made it appear as if the entire home was this way. And they showed up and they're like, no.
They left.
They said, we're not doing this. There's absolutely no way. And it was dirty. There was a lot of, the bathroom was a mess. It was poop all over the place.
And what is this on the floor?
But I've never...
We've done Home Away, we've done VRBO, and we've had great success.
And I think that's awesome, and God bless you, but I will never, I have no desire to.
We can talk about this later. We got to take a break right now.
Oh, we have
Why?
Because, Tony.
We ended strong on poop.
I know. Well, I did that for you.
Thank you.
All right, that's the B-File. We got to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
We are at 9 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Preston and Steve show. Give it away. We will indeed do that if you happen to know the answer. And what am I speaking of? I'm speaking of our lesson question prize and a pair of... sweet tickets and parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McWayne of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race, Dover International Speedway, and that's on October 7th. I met a couple Over my appearance at Acme in South Philly that really wants to win this, Nick.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. You and Jackie and the suite.
Yeah, so. my first time ever going to a NASCAR event. I'm really looking forward to it.
Pretty cool, man.
It is.
All right, so the question that we ask and see if you know the answer to is, what does SHIMP stand for? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, what does SHIMP stand for? And we found it out this morning on the show. Were you listening? I want to know, and you need to get it correct in order to win. So give us a call. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what we've got today. Steve, some stories. What's going on?
Yes, ex-MMA star War Machine, who is serving a 36-year sentence in prison for beating his then-girlfriend and a man he caught her with, says he has found Jesus. In a related story, Jesus has been granted a restraining order against War Machine.
Hey!
After 13 years of marriage, CNN political commentator Van Jones and his wife Jana are getting a divorce. Jones says this is just another step in their lives, the step that involves legal battles and all-consuming hatred.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Brad Pitt's Make It Right Foundation is being sued by two New Orleans residents who say the organization built and sold them defective homes after Hurricane Katrina. Pitt himself says he's taking responsibility for the situation and has started a new organization called Making It More Right Than the Original Right, which wasn't so right. Yeah. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll see if we can find an answer to the question this morning. We want to know what a SHIMP stand for. And let's go over here to John, see if he happens to know it. Hey, John, good morning to you.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, bud. All right. We're just trying to find out what SHIMP stands for. Do you happen to know?
I believe it is. Strategic Headquarters Emergency Military Protocol?
No. You're close. This is a tough one, man. I apologize. You were clearly listening, but I gotta have somebody get it right. Sorry, John. I'm going to go to Bob, see if he knows. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Bob, what does SHIMP stand for?
I've got Security, Homeland, Emergency, Military Protocol.
You're so close to this one.
Very, this is a tough one. It really is.
Sorry, man. Yeah. Let me go next to Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, bud. Let's see if you know what SHIMP stands for.
Okay, let's see. Strategic, Homeland, Emergency, Management Plan.
No.
Everybody's all around it. You guys are obviously listening. We appreciate it. We just needed.
Sorry, man. We got to get the. It's because it's got to be spot on. Let me go. Let me go next to Caleb. Hey, Caleb. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. All right, Caleb. SHIMP. What does it stand for?
Strategic Homeland Emergency Military Protocol.
That's what it is. That was a tough one. It's a mouthful.
SHIMP.
But Caleb, you got it right. Hang on just a second, buddy. We are going to give you a pair of sweet tickets and parking pass to join Jack and Bam Bam, Nick McWain at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway. That's October 7th. NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th, and tickets start at $50. Kids' tickets are just $10. Get yours at doverspeedway.com today. Let's get into music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! 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 Become best friends.
Yep. All right, Music News brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Peeling lucky. Grab a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee with a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th. Or while supplies last for game, peace, and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. Greta Van Fleet has set October 19th as the official release date for the band's first full-length album called Anthem of the Peaceful Army.
Hope it's successful.
While also sharing a brand new song, which is called Watching Over, from the upcoming set. Fans who pre-order the LP will receive the song as an instant download. Written by all four band members, the album's 10 original songs explore a variety of topics, including fresh starts, love, integrity, innocence, adventure, diversity, and peace, the life cycle and its inherent responsibilities, courage, masked deceptions, revolution, and truth, according to a press statement. So these are all the things that is covered in their music. So it's coming out October 19th. Foo Fighters returned to the stage on Saturday night. This was in Vancouver after being forced to postpone two concerts when Dave Grohl lost his voice due to a cold. Dave was back in fine form Saturday night after struggling to get through the September 1st gig in Seattle that brought him down. As per the band's usual custom, they invited fans on stage to join the show at one point. And in this case, it was to perform David Bowie in Queens Under Pressure. And the fans who came up appeared to be a mother and daughter. And the daughter did most of the singing while the mother helped out drummer Taylor Hawkins at one point. Foo Fighters are out on the road. They're behind their ninth studio album, Concrete and Gold, which arrived last year. It's the sad news. Mastodon lost its longtime manager, Nick John, to pancreatic cancer on Saturday.
Man.
Yeah. Singer-guitarist Brent Hinds had broken the news of John's death, writing on Instagram, RIP Nick John, and adding a broken heart emoji. The band, which canceled a fall tour when John's condition took a turn for the worse, later issued a statement thanking John for his unconditional love and friendship. John was a 20-year employee of Rick Sales Entertainment, where he also worked with Slayer and others.
How old was he?
I don't know how old he was. Rob Zombie will host Rob Zombie's 13 Nights of Halloween for the second time on HDNet Movies. The channel will focus on a different film every evening at 9 o'clock, airing in prime time from Friday, October 19th through Wednesday, October 31st. Rob Zombie will be on hand himself to introduce each film and provide his unique insight on their impact to the genre.
I love all this stuff. I love all the horror movie marathons. I love every bit of this.
Among the films that will be shown are The Blair Witch Project, Flatliners, The Evil Dead, Natural Born Killers, which is kind of
interesting. Would not consider that a horror movie.
Angel Heart and his own film, The Lords of Salem.
Well, Angel Heart does have the devil in it.
Yeah, so those are the devil, you said?
Yeah, the devil.
No, but it's an interesting choice. It's not,
yes, not usual.
Stereotypical.
Yeah, the one I disagree with, Mr. Mom.
Okay.
Yeah, has no place in there.
It scared some people. You know, guys that didn't want to stay at home,
stay
and take
home, yeah.
Kids, you know,
who so, wants to lose a wubby?
You know, wubby,
wubby,
close.
Wubby's what you get when you're aroused.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then that leads to some lovey-dovey, yeah,
right?
Which everybody you got to clean up.
Get your hair and Cowper fluid, everything.
As expected, on Friday night, Sir Paul McCartney played a secret show at New York City's Grand Central Station in celebration of the release of his latest album, Egypt Station.
It's very cool.
The show, which was broadcast on YouTube, saw the former Beatle performing a 24-song set, including three songs from the new album. His first, this would have been great, his first U.S. performance of the Fab Four's From Me to You on U.S. soil since 1964.
Holy hell.
Yeah, as well as incorporating a horn section for the Wings' 1975 classic Letting Go, with the players performing within the crowd.
So what were there, 300 people there, you said?
You know what? I'm not sure how many,
I think it was
Steve.
A limited audience.
Yeah. High-profile guests at the show included Sean Lennon, Meryl Streep, John Bon Jovi, Steve Buscemi, Chris Rock, Kendall Jenner, Amy Schumer, Jimmy Fallon, Kate Moss, Bobby Cannavale, and more. Hmm. So pretty cool that he did that. And one last thing for Music News, Free Music Monday. And I have a chance for you to win a copy of Rainier Fog. That's the sixth studio album from Alice in Chains, which is available now from BMG. I'll take caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR, and you will get that. So go ahead and give us a call right now. We'll set you up. And that's all I have in music news for you this morning. Let's take another break. We'll be back in a second. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, of which I will tell you all about when we get back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
And torn in two on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, 1029, Preston and Steve radio program. Coming to a close on a Monday, and getting ready to make way for the next entertainer who will come in and entertain you.
Another broadcaster.
Although without the back school A to Z, that's over with.
We wrapped it up. The first time we've ever gotten that honor.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to at least come back and get a little taste of it. Only two songs, but that was enough to let us reminisce about
it. Is it sort of criminal that we play the least music of any show on the station, and we ended up wrapping it up?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of unfair to everybody else who really cranks
it
out all the tunes. But nonetheless, it was cool. And back school agency is done. Real quick, a thank you to our guest this morning, Mr. Paul Feig, who was on.
Yeah.
The movie that he directed is called A Simple Favor and looks pretty wild, man. Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. enough said.
It's a good pairing.
In theaters on Friday. So Paul's a very nice guy. So it was cool to take a moment to talk to him. He says he loves Philadelphia. So.
Yes, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the home of Brent Porsche.
For absolutely, yeah.
Keep that in mind. Who's in for Pierre Robert this
good
week?
Good morning, everybody. I thought it was really cool you guys finished up the A to Z for once.
You thank know,
to
you.
Hear your
you didn't feel robbed?
Wrap up. I caught the video up on Instagram and everything that you guys posted. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was a bit of an honor, yeah. I'd have to say. Do you have some standout moments from A to Z? Did you get any really cool, like special ones that stood out? Because everybody likes the longer songs. Us jocks
sure.
do.
Yes,
it's kind of cool to be able to play those.
Just, you know, everything that rocks. When I think of the Bees, we go from Boat Drinks to Bodies from Jimmy Buffett into Drowning Pool, which I think is super cool. But as I was coming back from the shore on Saturday, I was listening to Blake and he had the songs.
Mm-hmm.
There were a ton of killer The songs that one from another to another. I think it was like Marilyn Manson, The Dope Show, Into the End from The Doors, into The Entertainer from Billy Joel.
Wow.
The Fever from Bruce Springsteen.
That collect, yeah.
It was just kind of bouncing around all over the place, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, nice. It's there's listen, what other station could pull that
for real,
off?
Right?
Yeah.
It's what we do. And we'll do it again next year, hopefully. So we'll see how that works out. Brent, we have a cool prize. Let's get the letter and I'll tell everybody what it is.
All right.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Brought to you by the letter S, as in shiny shoes.
All right, I like it. And we shiny shoes, Kathy. reference
thank
to you.
A
four-pack of tickets for the MMA Pro League at Hard Rock Casino, Atlantic City. And that is this Saturday. But we're going to throw in two rooms, four food vouchers, and meet and greets with pictures in the cage.
Holy hell!
Yeah, get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, and that's a pretty cool prize. So we'll give that away on Friday. And Brent, you're here all week to give us those
all
letters,
week
right?
And next Monday, so the standard Pierre vacation time.
Yep. What's up on today's show?
So we got workforce blocks today. Obviously, on Friday when Pierre was in, we were still doing the Back to School A to Z. We had a really big show last night with Deep Purple and Judas Priest, so I figured we'd do a block of each coming up at noon today.
How was that? Were you there?
I did not go last night. I had some stuff doing, but I heard it was awesome. And, of course, all you have to do is hop on social media and you can watch the whole show up there anyway. Also have a block of Sublime, which is cool. Free Music Monday, the new Alice in Chains, Rainier Fog. We'll pass that along to you. And I have a concert announcement around 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, do tell.
And I will have tickets to said concert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. Love it when that happens. All right, Brent's going to take care of you. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' tomorrow. Tattoo Day, we do that on Tuesday. Somebody's getting some free ink. And our buddy Craig Gass is in town.
Hey.
He will be in the studio, and he's always great to have on the program. So those things and more tomorrow. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, this goes out to the asshole at the mall this weekend who purposely threw his shoulder into me while I was walking with my family talking to my young daughter and then refused to say, excuse me. You are small and pathetic, and that is all you will ever be. See ya.
Next message.
Well, it sounds like Europa, and I think that's the last song on the A to Z. Bummer, man. But hey, thanks, MMR. Thanks for keeping my day better.
Next message.
Stop opening your car doors into oncoming traffic. Did you eat paint chips for breakfast? When you're dropping your kids off for school, make them get out on the side of the sidewalk and cross them at the crosswalk.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.